All right, good evening, everyone. This year tonight is dedicated to the speedy recovery of Chana Bas Rasha's elder, Rav Rifu Shalema, and Chaya Avigail Ilana Bas Sara Rezel, Rav Rifu Shalema, take her from the Yad Mamish. Okay. This week's parsha is Parsha Shalach. We're going to learn a mimer, a Hasidic discourse, which is actually related to the last and final verses of this week's Torah portion. Couple of verses, the last portion in Parsha Shalach, deals with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis are the fringes that we wear at the end of the four corners of our clothing. So there are these fringes that are worn, they're called tzitzis, the talis. And as we know, the tzitzis, today's days, we don't fulfill this mitzvah in its perfection. The way the mitzvah originally was, that the tzitzis was supposed to have one strand of tcheles. What is tcheles? Tcheles is a kind of bluish wool. It was dyed with a bluish dye. And then there were seven strands of white wool, and one strand of tcheles. And this is the way it is. This was in the time of the temple, that's the way it was. Or rather, I don't know if it's seven or if it comes out to be only four. Choosing this because the tzitzis really are four strands, divided in half, so it becomes eight. When they paint one of them of tcheles, I'm not sure if it's both sides, so it becomes two, and then six of them are plain white. I'm not sure. I have to check on those who wear tcheles. Today's days are some people wear tcheles. Generally, by most, it is accepted that till Mashiach comes, we don't really know exactly what is the tcheles and how it is. Some who have done some DNA testing and have decided on a certain type of a dye that's what it is. But in the mimer over here, we're going to have a deeper understanding. He's going to mention, it doesn't mention in this, but an explanation of the minor, of why today's days we don't do the tcheles. And we only do the, we only have the white strands. But that's what we're supposed to wear. And it's interesting that the mitzvah of tzitzis is connected to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Because one of the reasons we wear the tzitzis is that the pasuk says that you should have the tzitzis in your four corners of your garment. Re'isem oisai, you should see it. Particularly when it says re'isem oisai, it says you see it. It's talking about that string that has the blue dye on it. You should see it, referring to the blue dye tzitzis, because that's the akana psil techeles, the hoya lechem le tzitzis. Re'isem oisai, you should see it. And this will bring you to remember all the mitzvot of the Torah. Zechartem is kol mitzvot Hashem. You will remember all the mitzvahs, all the commandments. Asisam loisam, you will do them. And l'mam tizkiru. And then it says loisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei nechem. You should not go astray after your heart and after your eyes. L'mam tizkiru, so that you will remember v'asisam es kol mitzvot, v'yisam kedoshim alehechem, and you'll be holy for God, sanctified for God. So we need to understand what is the significance of the mitzvah of tzitzis. What's the significance of the woolen strands? Why are they strands? Why are they dyed blue? Why? And one of them is dyed blue, the blue one. What does this have to do with all the mitzvot? And why does this constitute holiness? Yisam kedoshim. And why is it a dafka over here by the mitzvah of tzitzis? As the pasuk say, don't go astray after your heart. Simply, you would understand, you will follow the mitzvahs and you will not do other stuff. You will refrain from sinning. But why dafka by this mitzvah? Why is it precisely by the mitzvah of tzitzis that the verse emphasizes you will do this mitzvah and then you will not go astray after your heart, asher atem zonim achrayim. You're being, that your heart is seducing you, perhaps, to go after other things. So you will not do that, you will remain loyal to God. So this needs to be understood, what is the significance of all this. So let's read. V'hoyu lechem l'tzitzis. And this will be for you for tzitzis. Now, the simple explanation, by the way, of why through the tzitzis do we remember all the mitzvot. So it is explained like this. The tzitzis, the word tzitzis, tzadik yud tzav, has the numeric value of 600. Because in Hebrew, every alphabet has a gematria, has a number. So the number of tzitzis, which is equal 600. Then we have the 8 strands. So that's 608. And 5 knots. The various different knots on the talus. So 6, 8 plus 5 is 613. So they're looking at your tzitzis, you remember the mitzvahs. But we need a little bit something more than that. That there's something in the tzitzis itself which have the power to bring the Jew to conform and to be subservient to God and to follow the commandments. There is a mystical power. There's something of extreme holiness and a spiritual energy that is channeled through those tzitzis. For a man that wears tzitzis. Women have this without the tzitzis. Or perhaps by the tzitzis being worn by their male counterpart, by their husband, that's what imbues them with this particular energy of the tzitzis. It's interesting that the whole mimer is going to associate tzitzis with women, even though women don't wear tzitzis. In other words, with the idea that in order for the Jewish people to be a woman, to be God's wife, we can only have it through tzitzis. And that's why Doc over here it says, don't go astray after your heart, meaning don't be a zona, and meaning a woman who is not devoted to her husband becomes a zona. So the mitzvahs, the tzitzis, are what keep the Jewish person loyal to God and to be a wife for God, as we're going to see, Isha, a wife. So all this is going to be explained. And there needs clarification why it is this mitzvah that women don't have. I don't know. But maybe they don't have many mitzvahs that are associated. But it's interesting to note that the whole gist of the whole mimer is all about women, and women don't have the mitzvah tzitzis, but they're on it. So let's read. V'hoyu lechem l'tzitzis. It will be for you for tzitzis. For the isa moitza, and you will see it. With a heart, and you will remember the doiner. L'man tzizkiru, so that you'll remember v'asisam, and you will do. So now, hine knesses Yisrael mikra kala. So to understand, he doesn't ask any questions. He says, you just read this, and you'll find that it seems that the various verses don't seem to connect one to each other. What is the connection of seeing the tzitzis, remembering all the mitzvahs, and through this you will be holy? What does one thing lead to the other? So he makes Knesset Yisrael, Mikra Kala. Knesset Yisrael is the ensemble of the Jewish people, particularly the root soul, where all Jewish souls stem from. It's called Knesset Yisrael, because it's the gathering of souls of Israel. So Knesset Yisrael, which is the root and the source of all Jewish soul, which is also called the Shekhinah, so she is called, this is called a Kala, she's called a bride. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra B'Shem Chas. And God Himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is called Chas, and is called the groom. Where do we see that? That the Jewish people and God are called bride and groom. K'mesh HaKasa, as it says, B'Yom Chas Enosai Zem Atam Teir. So it says, go out and see. It's a verse in Shir HaShirim, in Song of Songs, where King Solomon says, go out and see the Melech Shlomo and the King Shlomo, the crown that his mother crowned him, the Yom Chasanosa in the day of his wedding. It's referring to God, the day that God got married. The sages tell us that what is the day that God got married? The day of his marriage is the day that the Torah was given. So who is the bride? We're the bride, and he's the Chasan. So there's a Chasan and a Kala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikra B'Shem Chas. K'mesh HaKasav, as it says, V'yayim Chasanosa Yizem Atam Teir, is the giving of the Teir. V'ksivim, it also says, V'yayim Ahu Tikra'i Ishi. On that day, which is referring to when Mashiach comes, you will call me husband. Ishi, my husband. So we see that our relationship with God is one of a husband and a wife. The Indian and the idea is, K'hinei K'siv. For behold, it says, L'zois Yikra Isha. It says, by the creation of woman, when God created Eve, when he created Chava, It says over there that this is the reason why she's called Isha, Isha woman, ki me'ish lak chazos, because she is taken from man. She's Isha, Ish, there's Ish, there is man, and there is Isha, the recipient of Ish, the one that comes from Ish. So the whole existence of the woman is that she's taken from man. So in the spiritual dynamics, what does that mean? Malchus, the Jewish people, and the quintessential Jewish soul, which is the root of all of our souls, is called Isha, because this is derived, because that soul is derived from God. It comes me'ish, from Him. God Himself is called Ish, Hashem Ish Melchana. God is a man of war, it's called a man. And Knesset Yisrael is a part that was separated from Him. So as we know that the whole procedure of Adam and Eve, of Adam and Chava, as they were being separated, originally they were one entity. Adam and Chava, Chava was included in Adam. And then through God, God did an operation, separated one of the ribs, and created Chava. So that is really resembling a much deeper thing. Just like it happened in a physical sense, this mirror reflected a spiritual severance of the Jewish soul, which is really in essence a piece of God Himself, that was severed to become an entity unto its own, to become something a part of it, so that God can get married to a wife. And that is it is us. So there is Isha and Ish Lak Chazos. But however, we have to understand the etymology of the word Isha. So we have Ish, taken from Ish. But why is the man called Ish? And why is the woman called Isha? What's the difference between the two words? The Isha has the word is Eish, fire, and Eish, hay. It's the fire of hay. Ish is again Eish, Eish Yud. So what we know that means is that the woman, the feminine structure, which is the Eish hay, which is the fire of the hay, that is derived, where does it come from? It comes from the Eish Yud. So we need to understand what is this Eish hay, and why is the Jewish soul called Isha Eish hay, the Eish of the hay, the fire of the hay, and what is the significance, what is the meaning that it comes from Eish Yud, from the fire of the Yud. So let's understand. The Knesset Yisrael, that the Knesset Yisrael, the assembly of Jewish souls, Nikra B'Shem Isha, is called Isha, Hashem Eish Hei. It's the Eish of Hei. So what is the Hei that's creating this fire? So this is significant in terms of the significance of this is as follows. Ki Behei Baro. Because creation came from the Hei. How did God create the world? It says, Ki Beka Hashem Surah Lano. There's a verse that reads like this. Because it with the Ka, Yudke Vavke, it's with the ka, the yud ke. By the way, when I say ka, yud ke, we don't want to pronounce God's name with the regular pronunciation. So instead of the h sound, we say a ka sound. Okay. So ka is really the yud ke. Okay. So now, so it says ki b'ka Hashem tzurelamin. Tzurelamin means the stone of creation, the force of creation. The rock of creation. God is called the rock of creation. But the verse emphasizes, Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Elam. Now, the name of God has four letters, Yud K, Vav K, Yud and two Hays, and the Vav. However, so the same, but why does it emphasize that Tzur Elam, the force of creation is Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Elam, which refer to the first two letters of God's name, the Yud and the Hay. And the reason for that is, the sages say, that the future world, Olam Haba, the world, the future world, is created with the Yud, and the present world that we have today is created with the Hay of God's name, that's what created the world. Now we know God created the world through speech. With 10, when we look at the story of creation, it doesn't say that God created the world with a Hay. It says God created the world, Basaram Amaris Nivra Olam. With 10 utterances, the world was created. You look in the story in Genesis, in the beginning of Bereshit, it goes on, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, and God spoke. However, God's speech, He articulated into 10 utterances, but the source of those 10 utterances is one singular Hay. We mentioned it just a few weeks ago. Why? Because Hay represents the realm of speech. Now, speech is deeply connected with the letter Hay for two reasons. First of all letters that are spoken come from the mouth, And in the mouth are four vehicles or four manners of transmission in order to create letters. They're called the five mitzvah sapeh, the five organs of speech. We know that all letters, all alphabets that a person can utter from their mouth are subdivided into five categories. There are letters that are that stem from the throat, the guttural sound, and then there are letters that stem from the lips, like the bays, the B sound. Then there's the letters that stem from the palate, letters that stem from associate the teeth, and then there are so we have the garein, the cheich is the palate, shenayim the lips, and then there are the teeth, the tongue. So these are the five heimaytzayis up there, and these constitute. There's no other letters. These are all letters. So that's why, being that all the whole world of speech is based on five organs of transmitting of these letters. The letter He, the number of the letter He, every alphabet in the alphabet has a number. So He is five. So being that the whole world of speech, its origins are from the five organs of speech. So that's why the He is responsible for the whole world of speech. More than that, the letters are not just, there aren't just five organs of speech which create the letters, but the letters also involve the substance of the letters is a breath. The substance of all letters, in order that the letters should have a voice, should have a sound, one needs to breathe. It's the breath that carries the sound. And the breath goes through the five organs of speech. Now breath is hey. Because when you breathe and you go, the sound that you give out in a breath is the hey sound. So the hey is associated with speech for two reasons. First of all, the substance of speech, which is the core, which is the material, which all letters are formed from, are the hey, is the breath. And then as it's channeled through the mouth to become particularized into the various different letters, it goes through five, a processing plant or processing place where it's processed through five organs which create the various letters. So therefore the whole realm of speech is associated with the hay. And that's why we say that God created the world with the hay, because creation was an act of God speaking, because that's what speech is. Speech is to speak, to communicate to someone that's outside of you, to relate, to take something that was contained within you and transmit it to the outside. So for the fact that God created creations that are other than Him, so how did He create those creations? Through the letter Hey, which is from the realm of speech. Now here the Alter Rebbe, this is what we usually speak about, that the world, the whole world of speech is the world of Hey. And that's also connected, that Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, in God's name, the Yud. Now, let's understand something. When God has a name, any name of God is only in terms of God relating to the creation. Because God in Himself doesn't need a name. Just like a person doesn't need a name when they're onto themselves. If you would be living yourself on an island and you wouldn't have anybody else to interact with, you wouldn't need a name. A name is a manner which others reach out to you, and you make yourself accessible to others. The way that you're identified from amongst other billions of people so that others can reach you is through your particular name. So your name is your outer element. You're reaching outwards to others as a name. So that's why we say the general God's name, even His most personal name, which is the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, is also, in as much as God is already relating to the creation, He assumes a name. However, that channel of God to the creation goes through various stages. Meaning, first our levels of, as we're going to soon see, first initially, our levels of adjustment within God Himself so that He can adjust Himself to relate to the creation. In other words, the connection to the creation is not flat. It doesn't just begin in one second. There is me, there is God, and there is a creation, and here now I'm extending myself to the creation. There is a process of adjustment, of adaptation taking place within God Himself. And these are the various levels of godly light which precede the actual speaking. There is a level where God speaks, that's the hey, that's the latter hey of God's name, the lowest hey, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. the bottom hey of God's name, that's the world of speech. And that's where God literally is transmitting to the creation, speaking to the world. He's speaking outside of him. But in order to be able to do that, there's first God assumes an identity as a creator before he creates. He has to be a creator. And he has to have, and he chooses to have certain identifiable features. Because God in essence is not identifiable, he's infinite. And any infinite being, the infinite being has no description. Because the description means already a certain finiteness, a certain shape, a certain form. God is identityless, personalityless, beyond characterless, in terms of beyond character, higher than that. So he assumes first a certain character from within himself, and then later he reaches down to the point, that energy reaches a point where it can be transmitted to the creation, when he speaks to the creation. That's the lower hay. Now, that's lower hay, which is the point of transmission to the creation. We should understand why it's a hay, because it's a breath of God that he's omitting outward, outside of him, also coming through the various restrictions. That's really what the five organs of speech are. The five organs of speech are really, each one of them represents a certain block, that the breath should not come out in its simplistic sound. What's the difference between the letter hey and all the other letters? The letter hey is the sound itself, without it being formed and shaped. It's just plain sound. It's the raw material. What are the organs of speech? The organs of speech are already giving that raw material certain shape and form. How does it give it shape and form? It gives it shape and form by restraining, by restricting, by holding back. By doing what? Meaning, when the letter, for example, if you open your mouth wide and you don't interfere with any of your organs of speech, so then the hay comes out just plain as a hay. If you're sticking your tongue in the middle, or moving it and bending it in a certain way, that's blocking the breath, and that's what's causing it either to bounce off certain parts, causing a certain restriction, and it's like a restraining. Because God's creative power is really in truth endless. And therefore, it shouldn't create the various different minuscule creations, each one in their particular shape and form. In order for the creations to become so detailed, so defined, so limited, from an unlimited, endless power, there has to be restrictions. And why is one creation restricted, defined in its particular parameters, and a different creation is restricted and defined in its particular parameters? That's because the strainer, as that energy was emitted from God to the creation, was strained in a different way. The various levels of restraint, how the five organs of speech interacted to speak that energy, which will create that particular creation, that's what will result, that will consequently result in the particulars of the creation. So that's the hay of God's name. Now, here the Alter, that's spoken about in many memoirs. Here the Alter Rebbe is going to add more insight to the idea of why the whole world of speech, which is really the whole force in creation, as it's coming from God, the whole transmission of God to the creation, is really through the letter hey. It also comes to convey, it comes to emphasize, how creation and the whole life force of creation is absolutely nothing in terms of God. Why? Because what is the letter? A hey is the easiest letter to pronounce. It's a letter without substance. On the one hand, we said it's the substance of all letters, because all letters are a breath. But every other letter has more of a content. It's more of a, it's every other letter is thicker than the hay. The hay is a very flimsy letter, it doesn't have a substance. It's without substance. It's just a plain. What is that trying to convey? The idea that God, all of creation, and the energy that God emits to all of creation is not something of him. It's not like God took a piece of himself. He has to create. When a person creates something, so generally a person takes a piece of himself and puts it into it. You take a piece of your life If you're an artist, you put yourself in who you are and what you are. And that's why you're exhausted afterwards. Mm-hmm. Because you've taken a part of yourself and put it into this thing. When it comes to God, it isn't that way. Creation is sort of created from a ray of His light. Because He is, and because He's infinite energy, is it? So therefore, the radiance of that light goes off almost as if it went off by itself, without any effort to create the world. Not that God didn't guide it, and not that God didn't want that energy to create the creation, but it comes in a manner of absolute effortlessness. There's no, and that's the idea of a hay. There's no substance to it, as if it's just a ray, just like the ray coming out of the sun. The sun is not working to create that ray. Because the sun is a bright entity, a luminous being, so therefore a ray comes off. It doesn't matter to the sun whatsoever what happens with that ray, if the ray is going to, because it's nothing. It's not. It doesn't have any of, and the sun doesn't lose any of its strength because of that ray left it. It's not a glow, a ray doesn't have anything. It's not a transmission of something that contains some of the source. So you'll say, by constantly giving off a ray, it's just a reflection. Just like a person doesn't lose anything when there's a reflection of you being reflected off a mirror. Because that's a reflection. It's just a reflection of you. A reflection is a reflection, a shadow. All of creation is just a shadow, just a reflection of God creating it. It doesn't contain it. And that's the idea of it being a hay. Hay being nothing. Doesn't have anything of it. The Indian and the idea is, I'll say, oh, not yet, let's keep a hay butter on the hay might, no. God created the world with the hay. Hay might tell us up there, which are the five organs of the mouth. Now, we'll say that why, that all of creation derives its energy from the hay of God's name. So there's two facts. The Alter Rebbe is emphasizing two things. First of all, it's hay might tell us up there. It's the five organs of speech. Secondly, that's one aspect of why it's hay. Secondly, it's beruach piv. It's the breath of his mouth. Cults of all the creation. The breath meaning, again, the hay. Shehum makoiru maitza sarama maris. Which this is the root and the source of where the ten utterances come. Shanibra bama oilam. That the world was created. The hainu hamaimar echad shayachal hibaris. Which is the one utterance that the world could have been created from. Which means like this, we mentioned this also a few times lately. So what was the world created with? What is it? Was the world created with 10 utterances? Or was the world created with one letter? With the hay? So which one is it? The answer is, we look at speech. You give off one breath, and that breath serves as the source of 10, 15 letters. It's a breath with which you say a word or two, or three words. So now, that breath gets, a little tiny bit of the breath gets broken up, little crumbs of that breath sort of enter into the various different letters that you're creating. Each letter contains a tidbit of that original breath. So the same as over here. First, there is the breath of God for creation. That's the source for all of existence. All creations together have one simple source. And over there is no differentiation yet between an angel and a carrot. They're all contain the energy that is later going to result in all these beings are all equal. Because it's a simple life force. Then once it reaches the five vehicles of speech, the five organs of speech, here it gets broken up. And this is the deeper meaning of what the sages say, that God created the world with 10 utterances. He could have created it with one utterance. What does that mean? It's not only that He could have created it, it means it's a higher level of the energy of creation. First, the energy of creation, of all of existence, is condensed, is compressed in one breath. Then later it breaks into the various different combinations of letters. And that's it. Now, so that's for sure that the letters, once they become very specific letters, so they're very insignificant because they're so tiny and small in comparison. But even the breath itself is only a hay, emphasizing the idea that it's a substanceless thing. It's a thing that doesn't really have much of a beingness. I mean, God It doesn't take much of God to create it. It was something extremely external to him to create. Just like, as he said before, a reflection of a person, that it doesn't matter to you whatsoever if there is a reflection or there isn't a reflection. You're not impacted by it whatsoever. So, and that's the idea of the hay, who lefiv, the reason why God created the world from a hay, because this is a verse from the poetry of from a song that was written that many people say it on Shavuot. It's called Akdam Mitznumin. So there is a phrase that says like this, that God created the world ba'asa kalila, and with a very light letter, ba'lespe mashasha, that has no substance. Shahua Araba Alma, which emphasizes the idea that all of creation is only a little reflection, it's only a little ray, Hayyotsa Mehavalalet, that comes out of the breath of a person's heart, lepet of the mouth. The breath, meaning a person has a breath of life. It's your inner oxygen that keeps you alive. And then there is a little bit, a little offshoot of that, which later extends itself to the mouth to become the source of a person's speech. So that external breath, that externalness, is what created the world. Lias Makar Hadivor, in order for it to be served as a source of speech. Shaharahi, that little radiance, or that little array, Einin Regea La'atzmus M'husanefesh, doesn't touch, doesn't make a difference, doesn't have any significance to the very being, to the very essence of the soul. It's the power of the soul to extend itself. It's an expansiveness. It's the power for it to expand to others, to reach out to others. But it doesn't really have any significance to the person himself. It's derived from the most external element of the person. This is not a deriving from pnimius hanefesh, from one's inner aspect of their soul. So same is also by way of analogy, that energy that is drawn to result in the creation and the coming into being of all worlds. From nothing to something, which has got to be an enormous force. You can imagine. When you think about the universe, and you think about all the, just the physical universe. And now we know that the physical universe is so inferior to the spiritual reality, the spiritual world that precede our world, and it goes on endlessly. Creation is literally endless. And nevertheless, so even though it's so enormous from our perspective, from God's perspective, it's just that one little breath. It's all that it is, meaning something extremely external to Him. So, and that's what sources the life force for all of existence. To bring into the world from nothing to something, and the energy that will later serve as the indwelling light. We know the Zohar says that God gives life to the world in two ways. One that He fills every creation with a energy that is tailored to that particular creation. He imbues every creation with a particular energy that fits, which conforms to the particular parameters of that existence. So that is already an energy that is reduced to be compatible to the creation that it will create. And then there is another type of energy which envelops all of existence equally. And that's called Tzovav Kalam, which encompasses all of existence. Which really, if you're thinking about it, that's really what we just mentioned before when we're speaking about the letters of the force of speech. There's two aspects to speech. There is the breath itself before it got broken into little details, into the specific letters. And then there is the breath once it passes through the organs of speech, where they become, that breath gets subdivided and sliced into tiny little tidbits, into little crumbs of life. That's the idea of Mamala Kalaman and Shlegel Kalaman. Tzovav Kalaman is the energy of God to the creation that is still bigger than the particular creation. Therefore, it envelops all of existence equally, with the force of existence. So all of creation is within the breath of God, in that one breath. If you just give it a minute, it's that breath emanating of God that envelops all worlds and all of existence. Then it passes through this filter. It passes through this the lower level of the next stage of speech, which is which is the creating of the particular letters to form a particular entity. But nevertheless, both these levels, both the Mamala Kalam, and even the source of it, which is the Saiva Kalam, which is enormous, far greater than the Mamala Kalam, nevertheless, even that is only an external ray of God. It's only a breath. It's only a hay. It's only the most external breath of God. This is only a tiny ray and a radiance. The Pchinus Chitzoni is from the most external. And that external energy is associated with the Midah of Malchus. Malchus, we know that the final interaction, the way God transmits energy into the world, you know. So there is a concept in Kabbalah we speak about many times of the Esser Sfirot, the ten attributes. And the ten attributes are the various form which God had formed himself in order to, as you mentioned before, in order to relate to the creation. The last one of those attributes is called Malchus. And from Malchus is where the connection, the transmission takes place, where God literally creates the world. Why Malchus? And we speak it many times, I've spoken many times, that Malchus is the idea of, Malchus means kingship, and it's the idea of wanting to be a ruler, a king, to be a king over someone. So kingship requires there to be a recipient, to be a subject. A king needs subjects, or else he's not a king. That's the very notion of being a king has subjects, and the subjects will serve him. Now, in order to have someone who serves you, you need someone who is not you. Because you can't be a king over yourself. So what justifies creation? What calls forth creation? It's Malchus. So Malchus is that link between creator and creation. So Malchus is also connected. That place of Malchus is the place of speech. Because what's the idea of Malchus is? To communicate to others, to command others. That's what speech is all about. Speech is all about communicating to others. So that final stage of Malchus is called, the world of speech. And that place of Malchus is the lower hay of God's name. We know the Yud is associated with Chachma. The hay is associated with Bina. And the seven, the six emotions, Chesed, the word says, Netzach Chayid is the Vav. And the final hay, that's Malchus. So Malchus is the world of speech. And that whole realm of Malchus is what? Something external to God. Just like we mentioned also many times, a king doesn't get personal with his subject. The king remains aloof. More than that, the king doesn't interact with his creations himself. It's only an external ray of the king that goes out to create, in other words, everything is done in the king, in the kingdom, everything done is done in the name of the king. But the king remains aloof. That's the idea that Malchus only are arabal. The liyas from Malach Kalamin, the Sayyidah, Ein El Zivar, the Inam Chacha, Ein El, his pashtus was a lasse. The whole idea of Malchus is also the way the king is relating to others. We said before, king can't be without others. It's an expansion to others. She'ein melech b'loy am. Now that place where a person relates to others is the most external part of you. Because what's external? External means you're outside. You're where others will see you. The inside of you is your personal place. And the outside of you is that which you're conveying to others. So Malchus, being the whole content of Malchus is what? Is to relate to others, to be a king over others. So that's called Chitzonius, the external of God. And when we say Chitzonius, we mean something so external that it's absolutely insignificant to him at all. It's completely insignificant, utterly insignificant. So this is the whole, this is the hay. Now, once we know what the hay is, now we'll understand. So what is the Isha? What is the Esh hay? Hay is the life force of creation. So what is woman? What is Isha? So Esh hay is as follows. That hay, being the life force of creation, so this is responsible for all creations coming into existence from nothing to something, doesn't only transmit beingness and existence to the creations, to make the creations exist. It creates the creations, but it pulls them back in. Interesting. That Malchus,
which creates a world. If God wants a world, what does he mean he wants a world? He wants beings that are not him, right? That are other things that he creates. However, when he wants those things not only to be buckled to him, meaning subservient to him, but more than that, but to be reabsorbed in him. So what you're going to have over here is Malchus creates a creation, creates worlds, but also places, plants within the creation a fire to be included and be absorbed in their source which creates them. And that's the idea of Eish Hay. The hay creates a fire. And the upper realms of existence, if we can imagine, like creation starting in first form, the creations that are closest to the initial transmission of where God is, on the levels where creation begins, on those subtle levels where the creations are so subtle, the first thing that appears up here are fiery beings. Because as soon as they come into creation, they're fired up with a yearning to be reabsorbed in their source, to go back to their... That's why we learned a few weeks ago there's malachim called seraphim, burning angels. Why? Because they sense how they've been diluted. They've sensed how watered down they are. They sense how minute their existence is, how inferior. More than that, they sense how their whole source, their whole existence, the hay that creates them, is only a ray. It doesn't have anything of the true reality of God. So they realize how inferior their entire being is. Not only because, not, let alone that the creations themselves have no existence, because they don't exist on their own, and they constantly are relying on God's life force to create them. Besides that, so who wants to be a creation, in a sense? They want to go back and be absorbed in the source. But more than that, even the energy that creates them is only a ray of God, it's only a reflection of God. So it's not, it doesn't have anything of absolute being. So they want to merge with what's absolute, with that which is real. What creates in them that yearning? So Malchus transmits that to them. Not only does it create them, but it creates them with an Eish, with a fire. So it's a Eish, a fire that's resulting of that hay. Eish hay coming from the hay. One of the reasons, there's another reason why, it doesn't say it over here, but he explains it in one of the Mamarim that are based on this, is that the Eish, is that Malchus creates that yearning within the creation, is because Malchus itself is primarily a fiery being. It's built on Gevuras, on fire. We said before, the point of Malchus is, one of the aspects of Malchus is due to the five organs of speech. It has to filter the light, contract it, particularly it has to restrain it, and break it into tiny little tidbits, little tidbits of light, little tidbits of energy, instead of the expansive Ein Sof light, infinite light of God coming down to the creation as it is. Then it wouldn't create a finite existence. So it has to go. That power of restraint is a power of fire. That's why fire, when you pick something in a fire, what does fire do? It breaks things up. It dries things out, and it causes things to be broken into little pieces. So Malchus is a fiery being. So since Malchus is fiery within itself, so the creations that result from Malchus, at least as we're going to see, as long as they're holy creations, Klipen Sitra Achra, the lower existences don't want to have this fire, go away from this fire. In other words, they want to exist in concrete existence with this. They want to hold on to their existence. They want to be. They're not willing to be subsumed, the desire to be reabsorbed in their source. But the upper creations are called, are Eish Hay. That's called Eish. Isha, the wife of God. Eish Hay, meaning just like a wife, the woman, is a separate entity from her husband, but at the same time, she comes back to be united with him. So she's separate, she's something other, but she's yearning to be united. And to your husband is your desire to be reconnected. Why does the woman want to be connected to the husband? Because that's where she comes from. Because she wants to go back to that place. So it's all the creations that really come from God, and which seek to go back to Eish Hay. Particularly, this is true about souls and about angels. The angels have that fervor, Tamara Halapidin, the fiery lit Srafamim the Mamawe, searching to go up, surging upward. And souls, before they descend into this world, primarily stand in a constant state of burning fervor, burning yearning. They pine with an unbelievable yearning and longing to be reabsorbed in their source. And souls can even have that even when they come down in a body. A person can have that constant, but difficult to experience that. But that's zir. That's part of the nature of our souls. In other words, we're created to be, but at the same time we have a yearning to be not. And that's that constant friction. So let's read. V'tachal derech mashal, no, let's read. V'ahorev amshachazu b'knefes Yisrael. And this are and this light. And amshachazu and this amshachah from the hay. B'knefes Yisrael, as it comes down, b'knefes Yisrael, the assembly of Jewish souls, the karnisham is the root of all souls. Liyos lahem esh v'hislavos, to create within them a fire and a fervor. L'slav and l'slat, l'slahit. L'slahit is to be go ablaze. L'slahit b'rish be'esh. And to become ablaze with fire, with flaming, as a flaming coal. V'tshukali batav l'kol v'oirin seferuchu, with a constant longing and yearning. To be absorbed and to be nullified and to be absorbed. V'oirin seferuchu, the infinite one blessed is he. Nikra isha eshe. So that's called eshe. It's that esh coming from the hay. It comes your custard, as it says, thou esheich chukasech. And to your husband will be your yearning. Uksiv, and we say, and particularly, see, as I mentioned before, not all creations are created in this way, but they have a fire to go back to their source. Jewish souls, he says, Knesset Yisrael are called isha. Why are they called isha? Because they threat. As the Jewish souls are those subtle creations that still sense their source and want to go back to their source. Uksiv, and it says, Neir Havaya Nishmas Adam. You see, take a look within the person. The soul yearns for that. The body is very content where it is. It's satiated in being a body. It's happy. It wants to be. It doesn't want to be not. So, but in regard to the soul, it says that, what? Neir Havaya Nishmas Adam. The soul of man is compared to a flame. And what is a flame? A flame is that constant flickering. The fire is constantly yearning to go back to its source. Shanashama kruya ner. The soul is called a ner. Kener hadolik l'mata l'mayla. Like a flame that is yearning, that is burning upward. The tevot is also back to its nature. Ukeshal hevas oilam alel. Like a fire that goes up onto itself. So koydim b'ayil oilam azeh. Before the soul came to this world, l'slabish b'guf nashmi. Before the soul came into this world to be enclosed in a physical body. Gam achakach, and also afterwards. So this is for sure, definitely before the soul, before they were embodied, before they were incarnated in a body. Definitely then at that point, the souls, they're in a constant state of burning. But even after souls come down here, it also has that ability, has that potential. But here it takes already effort. Before the soul comes down, it's effortless. That's just the nature of the soul. When the soul comes down into the body, being that the body is such a thick and coarse existence, it's not one of those beings that still sense their source. The body is already affected by the world of Klipa. The world of Klipa blocks the whole awareness that we come from somewhere. So why should you want to go to a source if you don't even recognize that you have a source? So the body distorts things. So here it takes a little effort. But when a person pokes and he tinkers a little bit into his inner being by contemplating, by studying, or by learning, it doesn't take much to be able to discover that innate fire, the genuine fire that every Jew has. So kol abo l'malas yodin, whoever comes to fill his hands, the liba l'Hashem in his heart to God, harei b'koyach nafshoin, so it is within the ability of their soul, l'oidid esahava, to arouse that love. K'mashakasa b'sifah shabeinin, and to explain to Tanya how every person has the ability to be able to evoke that yearning. And that's when we're Isha. Yes. That what? Is that contradicting it? He's saying that creation comes through speech, and the reason why Taka the Neshama is from those creations that are still yearning, they're not so affected by their beingness, but they're still relate to their source of being, is because they're primarily relate to the breath more than to the letters.
So
Creation in general.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because it's still connected. It hasn't become so thickened into beingness that it forgets its source. More intimate than all the creations. The soul still retains that. Yes. Why was Ali Sheikh Chukasich told to ask after that that thing? It could be that before that they were united. There was no separation. It was only after that there's a separation, and that's what the Achlahovin to understand. Ma'achar, here's the question. Achlahovin, we need to understand. Ma'achar Shachayis. Nimshach liyas nevroim, mayayim liyesh. Since the Chayis comes down to create the creations, from nothing to somethingness, the way God created the worlds in order that they should be creations. They should be entities. They should be beings. So the question is, if they were created, and that's where they begin, the creations begin with, from the world of Malchus, where Malchus speaks them into existence, and the point is that he creates them to be, from nothing to something, which means their entities begin in their somethingness. The creation, it's not like, put it this way, creations are not just, there is something called cause and effect. Cause and effect meaning one thing causes, you can trace. This is a cause, this is an effect. This is a cause, and this effect. So an effect and a cause you can trace. The effect can be traced in the cause. It means you can, in a sense, you can find the effect already in the cause. There's a similarity. Because this, more than that, the effect first existed within the cause, and like a child being born. So the child first existed within the parent, and then it was born out. So then you can say that what? Being that this creation, this being, was once existed in a higher form, so it's yearning to go back to its higher form of existence. Because it existed there. But creations were created me'ayin liyesh. They were created not in the manner of cause and effect, as if to say God's life sort of descended step by step, and then finally it thickened so much so it became a creation. That would never happen. God's life doesn't just slowly, there is a leap, there is a quantum leap, there is an end, and there is a me'ayin liyesh. Creations are created to become something out of nothing, a total new existence. Where they don't trace their cause, their beingness, to their previous, so even if that's the case, where do they get that yearning to go to that place? Or we might put it this way, if they go to their place, they cease to exist completely. Because they were created from nothing to something. So what precedes their somethingness is nothingness. So it's not like you're going over there and you're enhancing your beingness, your being. Rather, when you're going over there and you're not being, you lose your existence completely. So where would a creation have that desire to go to that nothingness if it loses its existence? We're going to see soon that when souls are absorbed, when they accomplish the Isha, when they're a woman, when they experience the Eish Hei, it doesn't negate their existence. It doesn't cancel their existence. Quite on the contrary, it enhances their existence. Which means the true existence, as we're going to see in a minute, the true existence of a Jewish soul is when he is totally nullified to his source. When he is not an entity unto himself, which means he's completely submerged in his source, that's when he really is. Meaning, the odd creations and beings, if they would go up to their source, they would be eradicated. They would stop existing. The Jewish soul, when it goes to its source, doesn't cease to exist. Quite on the contrary, that's when it really exists. It exists
when it accomplishes utter bittul, complete not beingness, that's when it is. That's its true entity. So being, let's put it this way, in simple words, being a good Jew, doing mitzvahs, and which means constantly bending to God, doesn't take away your identity. A lot of people think that if I start conforming to Torah and mitzvahs, then I'm not me. Then that threatens my identity. I'm not being quite enough. You're going to discover that that's the real you. Meaning you're going to discover joy and happiness and tranquility. Why? Because that's the true beingness of the Jew. Why is that the true beingness of the Jew? How does that happen? So the point is, the Eish Hei, which is the fire for consumption, to be completely consumed, comes from Eish Yud. And it's the Eish Yud that enables the Eish Hei two things. To yearn for that place, and secondly, first to yearn to that place, and secondly, to be in that nullification to retain its existence, to be in that non-beingness. In other words, to be able to be a happy Jew. A Jew who's serving God, and to be a, what do you mean to be a Jew? To be a Jew means never to do what you want, but to do what God wants, and everything. It's a constant surrender in everything, because God messes in, mixes into every aspect of our lives. Now, to be happy in that, now you can do that, but then you can do that and be completely depressed and say, oh, Nabucha. You know, it was the biggest accident that I wasn't created a guy. And I would have been created a guy, I would have been good. But now that I'm a Jew, no, to be able to be a Jew and be completely nullified and subservient to him and still be happy in it, meaning means to exist in that non-existence. That doesn't make... So where is that? So the Eish Hei, the fire of the Hei, we're going to see comes from the Eish Yud. What is the Eish Yud? Let's read. In other words, creations were created to be nothing from nothing to something. Means they were created to be an Am. Am meaning a nation. Oinemois. Oinemois, like extinguished coals. Meaning... Outside of it. Nifradim, separated. Me'ayin yin yin lehem akoyach. So where do they have the strength? Liyash lehem b'chinas bittul, that they should have this bittul, this nullification, this galalus b'chinas ein tzeif. How does a yesh, in simple words, how does a yesh become not? And still exist, because God doesn't want, that's the point, God doesn't want that we should undo creation. He didn't create a world that we should undo it. He created a world that we should merge with him. That means despite the fact that we created to be a being, to be a somebody, nevertheless we should include ourselves into him being. We come back one with him. And remain who we are. But in that remaining who, in being who we are, to be one with him. How does that work? So how can a creation, who's created to be an entity, out something, become, have bittul and eschalus in Einsof? Which is the idea of Eish Hei. Because Eish Hei is that fire to go back to the Hei, and to go back to the even deeper than the Hei, to get included completely back in God. How does that happen? This is what the verse says. That the Eish Hei comes from the Ish. Comes from Ish Lachazos, which is Eish Yud. From the man she was taken. What is the Ish? Eish Yud is the Eish of Yud. Ki Yud hu b'chinas chachmi lo. Because Yud is the level, we know that Yud is associated with Chachmila, with supernal wisdom. Shayud and Nukudiktana. Because Yud is Nukudiktana, is a tiny drop, is a little point. So too wisdom is only that flash. The flash, the mayach in the mind, Koydim Shabali Debina. Before it comes to Debina Vasadi. Before it comes to an understanding and a grasping, the Dalas Hamayach and the revelation of the mind. In the revealed part of the mind. Sha'abinu hu achavas adas. Because bina means the broadening of the das. Vishach v'samayach, an expansiveness of the mind. V'derech hadrucha v'rechava. In a very long and broad way. V'kachal derech mashal, the same is also a name mashal. Bina ilahu aylamatayna. Bina is a world of pleasure, l'neshamis, l'neshamis, shemis angin v'nehen in bastalasa. They delight and enjoy in their haskal, and this which they grasp, the gosham by Yitzchak Baruch Hu, in their grasp in the infinite one blessed to see. Basag yezu nikra b'shem yesh. And that hasaga, that grasp, is already called yesh. Commercial custom la'am kalahav yesh. We spoke about this last week. To inherit to those who love me yesh beings. The nikra gan eden, that's only called gan eden. Avla chachme me ayin. Mubchinas eden makar atayin. However, chachme comes from ayin. Mubchinas eden makar atayin, the source of pleasure. The moisha ain't tain of nigla b'chachma. Just like there's no pleasure yet on chachma. Shadayin mavrik b'moyach. When it's still blitzing. When it's still lightening in the mind. Koydim shem is gala b'bina, before it was revealed, received in bina, v'asag and the grass. Sha'az mizgala ha'tainu, that's when the pleasure and the life comes out. Ma'ashenkin b'chachma, which isn't the case on chachma, dayin ha'tainu gu b'makar b'hel. Then the pleasure is still in its root, the hell in it concealed. Ya chachma me'ayin. So what is the Alter Rebbe saying over here? We know that, well, we mentioned before that the Yudke Vavke, that preceding the world of speech, which is the lower hay of God's name, where he's literally speaking to the creation, to create the world, God first adjusted himself within himself to create the world, which means he assumed a certain personality. The creation is going to be created in a manner that the creation is going to have a personality. It wouldn't be a creation. The creation has, every creation has its specific, the definitive definitions that define it and characterize it and what it is. Now, in order for God, who is beyond all definitions, to create this creation, the energy would come directly from the undefinable infinite light, and as it would come to the creation, it would not create a defined world. So in order for there should be, so there has to be a medium. I don't know if there has to be, but God at least chose. God could do anything. But he chose to create it through a medium, for whatever reason. This is a different discussion. He chose to mediate. And what's the mediation? He chose sort of to give himself an image. The imageless God should get an image. So first he's going to have it, and then the creations are going to match his image. And the real reason for that is so the creations have a relationship with him. Because if he would create the world directly from his infinite light, he could, because there's nothing he can't do. But then there would be no bridge, and which means there would be a absolute schism, absolute block, break between him and the creation. And there would be no, if we're defined, and he is endless beyond, there would be no reference, no, what's it called, no...
It would be annoying.
No... No, there would be no interface, nothing between. So therefore he chooses to first assume certain character, which later will result in the very same image of himself he creates the creation. So we know that man was created in the image of God. So since God has, so now by man knowing himself, he can know and understand God and thereby relate and understand God. To get some understanding of what God is like, form a bond and a relationship with him, and through that God can relate to the world. Okay? So, and that's the idea of the Esser Sefira. The Esser Sefira is God limiting himself. That's not yet, Esser Sefira is in the world of Atzilus. Atzilus is not yet a world of, not a creation. There's nothing there that isn't God. But it's God putting on a certain, suiting himself to the creation. Putting on a certain form, as if to say, yeah, playing a role, identifying himself in a certain identity, assuming, getting a name, as we said earlier. Now, that process begins with Chacham. Now here's what we need to begin with. From the absolute identitylessness of the infinite light, there has to come, we're creating identity, we're creating a specific form. Yes, in the beginning it's going to be God himself, and later it's going to result in creations that are defined. And that initial point, the first point from coming from absolute nothingness to the beginning of somethingness, that's Chachma, that's the Yud. At that point we have already a something, but that something is so, being that it's the initial stepping away from the from beyond character, from beyond beingness, into a specific state of being, that place straddles being and non-being at the same time. That's why Chachma The meaning of Chachmas Koyach Ma, the power of what? It's a power, it's already a power, but it's a power of what? Because it has no definition yet, because it's still at that point where beingness meets non-beingness. It's that subtle point.
Transition.
It's a transition from something to another. And in a human being, we have the same process. The subconscious brain, the subconscious a person has the ability, for example, is for instance, the creativity of man is endless. There is, in the level that precedes the conscious thinking pattern, that precedes that, there is an infinite potential of what you can create, what thoughts, what ideas can come to your mind. Over there, there's no definitions yet. How does a specific something from a human being who is endless in his capabilities, how does a specific thing form? Let me take a person doing something. The same process which God has, we have within us constantly. How does a child who's just born, this child can be a carpenter, they can be a painter, they can be a scholar, they can be a librarian, they can be a musician, they can be a, I mean, there's endless possibilities, okay? What it can be. Or even just in the morning, you wake up in the morning, there are so many things you can get involved in today. It's just endless possibility at this particular moment, which you will affect, create, do, and so forth. But what does it begin with? It first begins with the kernel of an idea. Poops, an idea pops into your mind. As that poop takes place, as it just enters, chips right into your mind, right over there, at that second, it's hardly a something. Because it's still close to its creative source, which is undefined. It still creates to its nothingness. That's why when you're studying something, the Alter Rebbe says right over here, and when you get that first initial flash, before you define it, you don't really understand. You, for some reason, you know you have clarity. You know something, but you don't know. You ask, you tell me what it is. I don't know yet because it hasn't crystallized yet. It hasn't become discrete yet. It hasn't formed yet into a rigid, discrete entity. It's still very flimsy at that point because it's still in its submerged in the nothingness of its source. That's at the stage of Chachma. The next stage is of Bina, when you really understand it. That's when that thingilessness starts becoming more thingish, starts becoming a thing. Chassidus needs its own vocabulary. There's no words for it. It starts forming into a thing. Because now it becomes an identifiable thing that you can almost relate to it's outside of you. It's a thing. It's a full-fledged reality of an idea of what you want to do and so on and so forth. That's forming it. It becomes a thing in your mind. The Alter Rebbe says, that's when it begins to be called Yesh. In the stage of Chachma, we have already it, but it's still called Ayin, not. Because it's not, it's still in its nothingness. Yesh means it's something. Now there's a something. Then, let's take that further. Then, once, okay, you have a nice idea. But it's not real enough yet that you should get excited about it. You had a flash, you had an idea. When it enters your emotions, what happens next? It becomes even more something that you can relate to it emotionally. It becomes so real, so it becomes so much of a thing, it still doesn't exist yet because you didn't create it yet. This is an idea, and it's all a process within the human being. Later you're going to make a cake. Okay, the cake is not here yet. It's an obsessed idea, chocolate cake, just throw it to boom, a new idea. A new convention came into your head. How chocolate cakey is that cake at that point? It's nothing. Because you think you could have made so many things. In Bina, it becomes an idea, but you're not excited about it yet. It's still not a thing. Then when it reaches the emotions, that's when you actually, you have a passion for it already. That means it became so much of a thing that it is, but it's still in your mind. Then it reaches the stage of Malchus. Which is the stage of Malchus? Stage of Malchus is speaking it, or making it, or doing it, giving it a reality outside of you. So you see how it processes through these various stages. See, we exist, creations begin, we exist where? At Malchus, that's where our creation begins. So we're really existing in the real thinginess, where we really become something outside of it. We become something of substance, something of beingness. But that's not But here's the thing: if we can reconnect to the Yud, what's the Yud? The Yud is where all of creation is still, or rather, not even the creation yet. It's the stage within God, where even the divine identity is still identityless. It's that Yud which is still connected to the Ein Sof. And if we can reconnect the creation, or rediscover, reconnect to the energy of Chachma, that's when existence, things that exist, are not rigid and not stuck up in their existence, but they're still yearning for that Ein Sof where they come from. Because, so it's the Yud that transmits to the Hay, as the Alphabet is going to say, it's the Yud from Chachma. If you can take the Yud of Chachma, when it's drawn down from the Yud of Chachma into the Hay, into Malchus, that's what enables Malchus. Because put it this way, if there isn't the connection between Yud and Malchus, between Chachma and Malchus, and there's Chachma, and if you don't retain the connection to the Yud, then the creations would be created in a manner where they're totally severed and disconnected from God. The creations would be stubborn, spoiled beings that have no desire, no subservience to God, no submission to God, and so forth. Rebellious creatures. In order for the creations to be a yesh, it has to be because God wants them to exist in a sense where they feel an autonomous existence. Oh, it's not autonomous. They feel separate. They feel that they exist outside of Him, separate from Him. But nevertheless, they surrender to Him. So to bring, to create the creation outside, but to cause a link to draw it back in, for that you need the energy of Chachma. Because Chachma is the source of all Bittul. Because Chachma is the point of Bittul. It's the point of nothingness. Now let's read again what we just read. So we're on the inside, so we'll understand what we're saying. Ki yud u'pchinas chachmila. Yud is that chachmila. Sha yud u'nekudu k'tana. Yud is that tiny dot. Nakacha chachma, so to chachma, u'rak p'chinas barak ha-mavet. Chachma is that flashing flash. The moyach, as conscious idea emerges from the subconscious mind. At that moment, it's just a flash, and there's no self-awareness over there. We spoke about this many times. You don't have awareness of self, and you don't have awareness of the thing. It's like, this is all before it comes down into a stage of bina, v'asagang, grasping, when it's in a full revealed state of the mind, shahabina rachavis adas v'srachvis hamayach. Bina is already a broadening, where you understand the concept in a full foot. So the concept becomes far more identifiable as a something. The derech harucha rechava has a length and it has a width. The kachal derech marshal bina law, and that's why also, just like it is in the realm of Atzilus, this later results also in the worlds, in the lower world. When there is a radiance of chachma, if there would be a radiance of chachma in the worlds to Gan Eden, then there wouldn't be any enjoyment, there wouldn't be any pleasure, because chachma is too of a subtle light for the creations to be able to sink their teeth into it. It doesn't have any substance yet. So it's not yet fluffy enough in Chachma. So there can be any enjoyment in it. What would it do if there would be a revelation of Chachma, it would cause bittul to the creations. It's not digestible. In order for godliness to be digestible into the upper world for souls, for example, to the light in God light, They have to be able to perceive God in a certain form, in a something. And that only is through Bina. That's why Bina is the source of Gan Eden. It says, V'nohar yoytse me'eden lahashkes as agan. What's the Gan? Gan is Gan Eden. Where does the Gan Eden come from? It comes from a Nohar. Nohar is Bina, is the river. Eden, that's Chachma. Eden itself cannot serve as the delight of Gan Eden. Because at that point it's not yet, just like as we said earlier, when a person has that first initial flash, there is no pleasure. Why is there no pleasure? Because you don't have it yet. It's still too subtle for you to delight in it. It's only when it becomes enough of a something for you to be able to, I have it. There's something, I've got the something. So that's it. Bina Allahu Oyla Matainu. Bina is the world of pleasure. Then Shamishamis Angim and a hand and baskalas to souls, because they delight in their comprehension of the Gosambay and Sugar. That Sagar Zunikar Bisham Yesh. That Hasagar, in effect, they're grasping it, it's called Yesh. But here's the problem. It's an interesting thing. Once you're already in the world of Bina, and you're in the world of Yesh, you learned last week, what's Yesh? Yesh is 310. It's the lower 310, not the upper 310. We need to say, once you're describing it, it's not it anymore. Descriptions of it. A description of it is not it. Chachma is the real experience of it. But in Chachma, it's too far from you. So here's the thing. It's either you or it. In Bina, you have it. But what do you have? You have a description of it, not it. In Chachma, you still have the radiance of the thing itself, but for that, you can't be. So that's why you have to have no self, you can't have self-awareness of Chachma. In Chachma, that stage of nullification. It's not. That's Eden. It's the root of pleasure. It's the source of pleasure, but there's no pleasure there yet. That's the source of Eden. It's the root of pleasure. Just like there is no pleasure revealed in Chachma. Just like when Chachma is official, the first blitz of Chachma in your mind, before it's revealed in Bina, then the pleasure is revealed. When it's still in the initial stage of Chachma, the pleasure is in its root, the hellum in a concealed state. Because Chachma me'ayin is still in a state of bitul. However, now what does it say? It says there's a verse that says like this: "B'chachma yasad aretz." Chachma founded the earth. What does that mean? Chachma founded the earth. That there is a unique relationship between Chachma and Malchus. Malchus, which is the lowest, which is the world of speech, which seems to be what the world of the most concrete beingness. When you speak, you're actually transmitting the things outside to become very, very, very much, very real. It's no more a concept. It's no more an idea that you can even be excited about. It's something really real outside of you. That's the idea of Malchus. So we would think Malchus is the farthest away from Chachma. And it really is. But since the point of creation is for creations and beings to be nullified, that's why there is a specific channel from Chachma to Malchus. The energy of Chachma reaches down in Malchus. Malchus is saturated with Chachma, which means it gives Chachma plants in Malchus bittul, which results, what is Malchus? Malchus is the source of creation, which results that the creations that stem from Malchus should seek to go back to their source. They shouldn't get carried away in their metzias, in their beingness. You realize what perturbs the Alter Rebbe always, what bothers the Alter Rebbe? He's not bothered by sin. He's not bothered by this vulgar. He's bothered by beingness, but just existing. Existence bothers him because of the falseness of it. That he's always seeking to peel away that beingness and get back into what's real. And that's where, it's week after week, you struggle, you know, we struggle with this, but how does that happen? So Chachma has to deliver, has to transmit, where into Malchus? Well, B'chachma yasad edit. V'yasnim shachin as bitl b'makar v'shayish nishmas Yisrael. That there should be a bitl in the, and particularly where, who are the ones who need to bring bitl into the world? A world that was created to be something other than God, but that world should come back and submit itself to God's will and surrender itself completely to Hashem. Where is the, who's in charge? It's the Jewish souls. That's why the Jewish souls have to be saturated with the energy of Chachma. The rest of creation could be created in a manner of yeshus. So they, those Malchus itself will suffice. Or the external one. But in Jewish souls, in Makar Nishmas Yisrael, over there has to be a tremendous, intense radiance of the Yud to be able to give that constant bittul. So therefore, first it the Yud comes into the hay to give it the bittul. That's, by the way, the Alter Rebbe is going to bring soon, the idea of in the middle of a hay, there's a little yud. That's the yud in Malchus. Of Chachma, that's in Malchus. Without that, it's a dalet. Dalet means Malchus is really a recipient from higher. Like speech. Speech doesn't have anything on its own. Speech is not... Speech, in essence, is just empty vessels. They have to receive content from above it. Speech is... It's a hay. So really, it's a dalet. The word dalid, besides, comes from the word dal, poor. It doesn't have anything, it's impoverished. Which means worlds are impoverished. They don't have anything on their own. They don't even exist. Even that they don't have. It's like, without me, you're just bare skin and bones. It's nothing. There is no existence. So creations are absolutely poor. They're dalid. The whole realm of Malchus, she's a recipient, receiving from above. However, there is dalet. Then there is the hay put into that dalet. That little yud. And that turns it into a hay, as we're going to see soon. So when Yibachachma Yasad Aret, that's the little foot there in the hay, that creates from the dalet into a hay. So now, Aliyas Nimshav Chenes Ditlya. So first it's delivered into the hay, and then Misham Yipare. From there it gets splintered into a little bit of that dittle into every Jewish soul individually. First into the general assembly of Jewish souls together, and then individually into each soul. Umeschalik l'samach reish nishmas Yisrael to the 600,000 Jewish souls shem shor shehanashamas, which are the root of the souls. Ubehem anasit, and then there is offshoots lahamshach lehem damkim chenas bittul, to put into bittul. So we know in Tanya, as we spoke, we learned this in the. That the source of bittul in every neshama comes from his chachma, from the kayachma. That's what we're learning over here. That it's the insertion of bittul. That's why a Jew gives his life up, and we're willing to give his life up and die for the sanctification of God's name. It's all being in touch with the chachma. It's why we call it also a Jew is called a yid. A yid is a little yud, and because of that, that's what makes us Jewish. It's that it was create. What makes us Jewish is the link into it. To the non-beingness. The rest of the world begins as rigid in its being. I once mentioned this in the Shia a while ago. Less than 2 years ago, I think, at this time of the year. Because I was just remembering a certain incident. I was in the Catskill. We got stuck. We went into the mountains. We got stuck and the car broke down. And someone stopped to help us. It's huge. You know, one of those... but it happened to be a guy just driving by with his tow truck. So he stopped and he got the whatever, and he gave me a ride. It was at night, and I thought we'd be stuck. I don't remember what happened to the family kid. Anyway, so he picked me up. And this guy's this big guy with tattoos, and huge, real guy, chilling guy, and he was really nice. And I remember thinking that, but it came across as we were learning this at that time. As he was talking to me, just the way he was pronouncing the words and the way he was just speaking, there was such beingness being conveyed. Explain it. It's just such a... Instead of the transparency, a Jew has a certain... The Jews make fun of themselves. And there's a certain, like... There's a certain sense of taking oneself extremely seriously of being. And not that that's the way they're created. They're created to be. The Jew is created to be the link to the binat, to that place where they come from. And that's because the yid, that pintle yud that enters in, and that's what creates isha. It's the man, the esh yud. Oh, now put it this, now here's the thing. If chachma would transmit to Malchus, if chachma would transmit to Malchus directly, if the esh, chachma, directly from chachma to Malchus, but what happened is like this. In Chachma, the revelation of Ein Sof is so intense, so powerful, so real, that there is no being that needs to be nullified. The whole experience of Chachma is there's nothing but God. In Chachma, there isn't a somebody that now recognizes that there is God as a source of his existence and thereby realizes that God. In Chachma, that doesn't mean any calculations. Chachma, that's just. The first notion of Chachma is Ein Od Levado. What's Chachma? Chachma is the first stage of awareness there's someone to be aware that there's no one but God. The beingness of Chachma is so subtle to the point that all of the content of its being is that there's someone that knows that there's nothing but God. That's what defines its existence. So there is in essence there's nothing. That's called bittul b'mechias. It's just real absolute bittul. If that would be transmitted into Malchus, then it would defeat the whole purpose of creation, because then creations couldn't possibly exist and then have to struggle with becoming nullified to God, because they just would be blown away completely. Chachma reveals the truth in such a overwhelming, such a forceful way that you can't be a yesh, you can't be a somebody that's buckled. So therefore, for Yud to translate to the Hay, for Chachma to translate to the Hay, there has to be Eish. Eish meaning Chachma has to restrain itself very, very much. But the power of Eish is the power of Gevura. Gevura means the restriction. Restriction power. So to restrain the Yud shouldn't overwhelm the Hay. You see the difference. I mean, so you'll see the difference between the Yud and the Hay. The Yud is a Dot. A Dot meaning it's just a Dot. It's inherently lost. The Hay is already a something. It has a space. It's a meaning, it's a being, but in that being we want to bring the Yud. In that expanse, in that space of the creation, you want to introduce the Yud. To introduce the Yud into the Hay, if the Yud would come in full blast into the Hay, then the Hay wouldn't be a Hay anymore. It would overwhelm the Hay. It would bring it back to a point. And that's not the thing. So in order to do that, the Chachma has to restrain itself. And that's the idea of Eish Ish, but Ish. It's the Eish Yud. It's Yud. It's the power of Yud in a restricted manner. It restrains itself to introduce a little bit of what it is into Malchus. It's like giving it over to someone else. It's like Chachma sharing its bittul with someone else. And that's in a far more subtle manner. And that's the idea of Eish, the Eish giving. So that's how Isha, which is the Eish Hay, it's the creation's yearning for the Bittul. It's the Eish of the creations. So it's the opposite fire. This is a fire of yearning, what? Of yearning to be consumed in your source. This is a fire of an upward. This is a fire of restriction. Chachma has to completely restrict itself and hold itself back, restrain itself, and then it can transmit a little bit of the Yud from. So it's Eish Hay Ki Me'ish Lak Chazois. The Eish Yud, the Eish Hay comes from what? From the Ish. From the Ish, which is the Yud of Chazois. That's why this transmission is called Gevura da Abba. In Abba, which is Chachma, Chachma is called Father. In Chachma there is Chesed of Abba, and then there's Gevura of Abba. Gevuras to Abba, which is the power of Chachma to be able to share its bittul, but in a limited manner. Not to chesed of Chachma would mean Chachma just openly in what kindness means. Kindness means an openness. So Chachma flowing in its full intensity, that would overwhelm the Hay and wouldn't be able to transmit. It's only from the Gevuras to Abba, which is called the Eish Yud, that's what brings bittul into Malchus. So we're going to see, this is awesome, this is the Tcheles. So we're going to see, let's wait. Now, Leo Islahem, so let's go here. We were holding. Meschalik, Mahamshach then Gam came from this Bittul to be able to bring the Bittul into that. Leo Islahem, Bittul Hayesh. So in order for Malchus to be able to have Bittul Hayesh, meaning there should be a something, and the something should be Bittul. How do you get a something to be Bittul? So it needs to receive it from the Yud. The Pchinas Isha, that she should be a wife. And also, the Ner, we said before, and that's, the woman is also called Kala. Kala, she's called Kala, she's Eish, Eish is a fire. And also Kala, longing. And that's also Ner. Neshamas are called Neros. Why are they called Neros? Because they're burning upward. It's the fire. So woman and candle is the same thing. Eishenet, that's why it could be that women are the ones who light candles, the Shabbos candles, particularly for the women, because it's associated, the ner is associated with women. It's with the ner, with Eish. Zehu ner havaya, and that's the idea. We say ner Hashem nishmas Adam. What does it mean, ner Hashem nishmas Adam? That the ner of the soul, where does it come from? It's transmitted from him. It's the husband, which is God, Ishi, who transmits that bittul of yud into the hay to give the hay that ner, that to make it into a flame, to make it into a fire for it to yearn upward. Is that one? Kiddush. Shanim shach mepchenas avaya. It's drawn from avaya, particularly not only avaya, particularly from the yud of avaya. That's the main letter of the name yud kevavki is the yud. So to be drawn from the yud into the soul for it to be able to have that the liyos haneshama mepchenas ner. In order for the soul to be able to be ner. However, how will Chachmei Allah transmit B'tchinas Gila L'mata? How will Chachmei Allah transmit this revelation below? Hineyu al derech mashal k'moy tipa m'moyach hazachar. So this is like the seminal drop taken from the male, from the man, which is being transmitted to the woman. Here we're dealing with a transmission from man to woman. So we're dealing with something, now that drop, the procreative drop, that is being created, it's taken from the man to the woman, where is it coming from? It's coming first from the brain. And as it translates through the brain, it gets translated and it's given over to the woman. So there, what happens is like this, it can't go directly from the brain to the woman. It has to go through all the organs and all the limbs. Channels through the spine, but particularly it first passes through all the limbs. That is why there is a tainug, a delight that encompasses an entire being. We're dealing with this transmission. So that is because it's something that comes from the quintessence of the brain, from the beginning of the going through all organs, all avarim, all limbs, and then it's transmitted. First it has to go through all limbs. So how will Chachma be transmitted? This light of Chachma down into Malchus, so it needs to, and the reason for that by simply because this is too in the state, what did we say before? In order for the creations to take place, it has to go through levels. It has to come from a drop of. It has to. There's the whole adaptation process, right? So it's entombing, and yud keva. So at the stage of chachma, all of existence is so subtle. I mean, it's we're dealing with a very, very undefinable thing. Malchus is what? Very, very much defined. So here we're talking with a gap, an endless gap, an unbridgeable gap, really. This is so far from Chachmas to Malchus. So in order to be able to pass that thing of Chachmas to Malchus, you need vessels to take this. That's the point of Chachmas is too abstract for it to be transmitted to Malchus. So it needs vessels, containers, to be able to hold it down. What are those vessels and those containers? Those are the 248 limbs. And that is the mitzvahs. What are mitzvahs? Mitzvahs are the transporters. Mitzvahs are 248 mitzvahs. They're called the limbs of God, Avon and the Malkin. They take from the brain of God, from that point, from the Ish, from the Chachma, and transmit to the Isha. How do you have that? And that's called Ish. Ish, man. What's man? Man is the whole structure, the 248 limbs of a person. Not just the brain. The brain is not a man. In order to be called man, it needs what? It needs the whole configuration. So in order for it to be Eish Hei, for Malchus to have a yearning to go up to be consumed, it needs to receive from Ish. It needs to be from the Yud. But the Yud needs to have the whole structure of Ish. Yud itself can't. So let's read it. The Achet Satyam Jar Kach Milov, Chanaz Gil Lamatin, Al Derech Moshe, through the 248 limbs of the king. And that's the whole point, the Altareb says of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs keep on channeling the yud into our souls. Keep the yud alive. That's why the Rebbe wants so much that we go out and do a mitzvah with a Jew. Because in order to spark that bittul in the yid, to be able to awaken up his neshama, the mitzvah is what brings from that hidden place of shem damach mitzvahs, sham mitzvahs, sham kelim lo'erin sefer. Because the mitzvahs are those vessels for the angel hamalishvam that's enclosed in them. And that's why they're called limbs. What are limbs? Limbs are conveyors of the soul. The soul can express itself through the limbs. So too, God can express Himself through mitzvahs. They're conduits of His life. Just like limbs are kelim to neshama v'ruach hachayim, the mitzvahs hein shemamshiches b'chinas chachmei lo. And the mitzvahs, they're the ones that draw down the supernal chachma, b'chinas bittul, which is the power of bittul, the klolus neshmas Yisroel, to all Jewish souls. Shetiyena b'chinas isha, that they should be called a woman, v'ner, and there should be a candle. And this is what brings us back to what we learned last week. Last week we were learning that the lamp, ner, balos kataneros. So what we were learning last week was the neros. The neros we learned, mitzvahs are called ner, and the Jewish soul is called ner. So was the container, and the oil, and the wick was the mitzvah. But the idea is, what's the idea? Why was the Jewish soul called, why was the mitzvah? So we're called ner, we learned why. The Jewish soul is called ner because of the flaming. It's constant flaming nature that is flamed and desires to be elsewhere. The burning, the yearning for it to go. In order for the Jewish soul to be called a ner, it needs, mitzvahs are also called ner. And the ner mitzvah enables the ner Hashem Nishmas Adam to flicker. In order for that, for the ner Hashem Nishmas Adam to be a ner, it needs ner mitzvah. Why the ner mitzvah? Mitzvahs are only 248. Ner is 250. Two more. Because the mitzvahs are 248 plus 2. What are the 248 plus 2? So this is interesting. So we learned about this last week. The ner, the gematria, reish nun. Ner is gematria 250. Nun reish. I'm not much about the Zohar passage from the Samach Lavan the days. Like it says in Zohar over there. Kipchinas Ramach mitzvahs. So the Zohar makes an interesting calculation. The Zohar says that the mitzvahs are 248 limbs of God. Plus the two hands, the two arms. Because we know, mitzvahs are what? It's God's limbs. It's God extending Himself to us, the 248 limbs of Zohar. Now, that is transmitted to Malchus. But what is the other two? The two arms. But isn't the two arms already included in the 248? 248 is already 248 limbs, including the two arms. Alright? So let's see in a minute. But because the mitzvahs that are drawn down to us as the mitzvahs are conveyed. There are 248 mitzvahs, which are the 248 conveyors of God, transmitters of God to nishmas, to our souls. But how does that take place? There has to be a right and a left, yam and a smut. And that's the two added arms. The two arms of God, which enable the mitzvahs to function, which is the idea of smoylei tachas l'roishi v'yaminoi tchapkeinu. It says in Shir Hashirim, his left hand is beneath my head, and his right hand embraces me. So that refers to the two right and left. That's the idea we were learning before. Because we said before, since mitzvahs are all about transmitting the yud down to Knesset Yisrael, if mitzvahs would transmit that as it is, if the yud would come as it is, without it being restricted and restrained, it would just overwhelm. So the mitzvahs need to come down in a manner of strong restraint. That's why the mitzvahs are, in mitzvahs are two things. There is yamin u'smoil. All mitzvahs have within themselves, we learned about this many times, have right and left in them. That's why we learned that by Matan Torah there was fire and sights and sounds having to do with the koilos, the brach, because this was the combination of fire and water that was concluded in the mitzvahs. Because why? Because on the one hand, the mitzvah is a conveyor, transmitting. Every transmitting means water. Because what is water? Chesed, kindness, flow from up, down. That's water. On the other hand, it has to be a restrained flow. Because if the flow is going to flow as it is without restraint, it's going to overwhelm. Like if you want to pour it into a little cup from a big hose, so if the water is, you turn it on, you have a full water pressure, it's just, nothing is going to be received. It's just going to go right out of it. So you have to sort of restrain it to let it go slowly in order for it to be able to fill. So the same is over here. Mitzvahs, to have the 248, is what is being transmitted. What is being transmitted is the 248 commandments. Besides that, there has to be a power of right and left. Right is the ability of the aspect of bringing it down, and the left is the restraint, allowing it to touch and not touch. Ratzei, and this is really what creates the whole idea of Ratzei Vishuv. The Bittel, Ratzei Vishuv means that it connects and not disconnects. Because if it would connect the whole time, then there wouldn't be a Yesh to be Bittel. It would just be Bittel. There would no be a somebody to be Bittel. So there has to be a very fine, it touches and not touches at the same time. Tiny bit of that revelation and off and on, a constant at the heartbeat of God giving, it's in and out. So that is Achim Hoysan, as he said. And that's the two extra arms. By the way, that's also explained why there have to be Kehanim, Levi'im, and Yisrael. This is the first time I've ever seen this. Yisrael, together, they offer Karban. Karban is Aliyah Samalchus. Karban is what's a Karban? Sacrifices is this idea of taking things and subsuming it in God's life. Taking an object of this world and burning it in the fire. It's literally a karma. If you want to take one mitzvah that clearly describes what mitzvahs are all about, or what is to pick to raise the world back up into God, so that was a karma. Who was necessary? Who was necessary? And that's called, and the karma was an isha reyach nichoyach, isha. Isha is a fire. The fire, eish hey. Who? So you needed three. You needed Kohen, the Levi, and the Yisrael. Now, it's interesting that the least, the one that seems to be the most inferior is the Yisrael. Because they're not really doing much. But they needed to be present there. Because there used to be Mamadais, there were Yisrael. Every week there were different Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash. So what is the point? Kohanim is the energy of the right, Chesed. Levi'im is the energy of restraint, of Gevura. The Yisrael is the actual 248 limbs, is the goof itself. So there is what is being transmitted, and there is the ability, there is the power to enable the transmission to happen. So the Kahanim and the Levi'im are on the two sides, enabling it to take place. The Yisrael is the actual connection. So there's, because we're saying over here, there's 248 limbs. Beside that, there is the right hand, and there is the left hand. So that's added to it. As he explains in the Bia, that 248, it's not exactly clear if it's the 248 limbs of God transmitting to Malchus, or if it's the 248 limbs of Malchus receiving, and then the two arms of God, we spoke about it last week, embracing her. It's sort of that because in this mind, it's not exactly clear. In some places it seems to be explained that way, in some places explained. But the main point is, we want to draw down that the Isha, that there should be a wife. And there should be an ish, and there should be a ner, a candle, a burning. So that is a ner, the gematuration. Much good as yet. Well, by the way, that's also what explains. Since mitzvahs are, what are mitzvahs all about? Mitzvahs are all about bringing the yud down to the hay. That's why mitzvah is yud kevavke. That's what mitzvahs are. Because mem tzadik, mitzvah has the letters mem tzadik vav hay. So vav hay is the vav kay of God's name. Mem tzadik is really also is yud kay. Because in Atbash is the system of changing letters by taking the first letter, exchanging it for the last letter, the Aleph with the Tav, the Beis with the Shin, the Gimel with the Reish, the Dalet with the Tzadik, and the Hay with the Tzadik. Oh, the Hay is with the Tzadik. So Mitzvah, so the Tzadik is the Hay, and the Yud is switched with the Mem. So that's Mitzvah. So Mitzvah really, every Mitzvah you're doing is a channel of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Mitzvah is really originating in Chachma, and what they're doing is they're transmitting from the Yud down into the Hay. That's the point of that. That's literally a Mitzvah. It's pure godliness of Atzilus being, in order to empower our souls to be a wife of God, to be the Isha, to be a Ner, which is that, and the Shachas, I did, yeah. Yamach mitzvahs and mshachim amatim mshachim zayde beit chenis yom and smol right and left. Smol yatzayz and mshachim ki ashpov and mshachim zayde soy baruch shem mshachim amatim because the ashpov of ein sof that is drawn down hukshenas chesed is the idea of chesed umayim and water. So yodim amakim gavoya that descend from a high place. Achim hoysam shach. That's why it's that's the right side. It's flowing. Achim hoysam shach and mshachas b'islamata k'moishi b'mayla. But if it would have been drawn down as it is, loyhoya oylam is the k'nas yesh the dava nifra. Then the world would have not been created as a somebody and something a part of it that needs to be bottled. They just wouldn't be. So you need to have beingness, and that beingness should have bittul. So for that, you have to have right and left, the proper balance of right and left of yom and smol. And that's what we said before. That's called ish. It's the 248 limbs. The full 248 limbs are called. It's the yud, but the yud as it's being transmitted through the whole entire body that give it kalim, vessels to be able to come, and also eish yud, because it's really in chachm itself. You forget about the limbs. In chachm itself, it's the gevura ba'ava. As we said earlier, it's the power of restraint of chachm. Now, interesting, chachm is generally associated with water. Gevura of ava is the fire and water together. It's the eish yud. It's the left and the right, the combination of left and right that I'll later translate into the two arms. In chachm and bin, it's also right and left. Sorry, in chachm itself, it's already the right and the left, because chachm is really on the side of chesed. It's gevura da'aba. Gevura da'aba means in chachm itself, it's the blend of fire and water of chachm. Later, that translates into the right and the left of the midos of atzilus, of chesed and gevura. The main, it's all about translating that into malchus, so that malchus can be isha, eshe, and she can be a ner, she can be a candle. There should be a transmission, there should be yesh, and there should be a bittul. The bittul should be from the something and something. As it stated elsewhere. We'll skip the parentheses. This is actually something that I've already mentioned earlier. We spoke about the yud being. The yud being mitzvahs are all about a mitzvah causes the yud to be put into the hay, so that the hay stops being a dalet, it becomes a hay. That's what we're learning. Okay, hine. However, ha'odiv amshachazu. This ha'ara, this radiance from chachma down into malchus. For chachma, supernal chachma, to be able to draw down this bittul, lower down into the world of creation, that shines and illuminates from a place, from the infinite one himself, the source of this transmission has to be from a place beyond chachma. Because, what he's saying is like this, even though chachma is the fountain of bittul, the fountain of bittul is chachma, therefore all bittul comes from, all nullification to God comes from chachma. However, here's the deal. Chachma can be chachma when it is in the world of chachma, when it's in the world of atzilus. So there, obviously, there's no... It's remember we once learned the Parshas Lech Lecha Maimer that there was partitions? It's before the partitions. Before the partitions, before the blocks, before the screens, before the filters, of course you see there's none other than God, and of course Chachm is bottled. The question is, to bring that bittul into the world of creations, past the partitions, past the place where there is already blocks, where the light doesn't is filtered, where it's screened, to the point where the creations begin to see themselves as independent beings, to be able to transmit bittul there, it's not just, so Chachma can't just radiate its light into Malchus, or particularly, see, Malchus is not so much the point. The point is to transmit that light into the creations that result of Malchus. So in order for that to take place, Chachma, Chachma, the energy of Chachma itself is it doesn't have the ability to do that. Chachma has Bittul within himself. To be able to transmit Bittul, even to a Yesh, even to someone who is a somebody already, for that, one needs to go to a place even beyond Chachma. You have to go to because Chachma is already subtle beingness. It's a being that's Bittul. Chachma is limited. You have to get the Kesser, to crown, to real Ein Sof, to be able. That's similar to like a teacher understands an idea. Fine. And they understand it, they know it. If they want to teach somebody, so it's not just that. So here, in order to be able to teach something, you don't just have to know it. You have to know it so well to be able to get to the root of the idea in order to be able to convey it to a student. So that's the idea over here. Chachma in it by itself can have Bittul. But in order for Chachma to be able to transmit its Bittul further, it needs to be empowered by a place even higher than Chachma. And that is Kesser. That is the idea, as we're going to see soon, why it fits us. Yeah. Yeah.
Chachma, there's a fire and water that are together. I point that it's not good and it's not liberal and there's not any distinction. The question is, why can't we shut the Atma is the opposite of being? But from this explanation, it should have been the Atma, first of all, a lot higher than being. And secondly, the problem should be in the center, not on the right.
Not now.
Yes, they are here.
That is here.
Another time. Because I don't know right now. Good. Hinei Arav Amshacha Zuash Vetchina Sachmi Lo. This hour and this Amshacha that's in Chachma. In order to draw down Bittul even into the worlds of creations, has to be drawn down from the infinite one himself. That is even higher than Chachma. Because behold, because in order for Ein Sof, Chachma, even though there is Ein Sof and Chachma, there is a revelation of Ein Sof and Chachma. Says that the infinite one dwells in Chachma. Chachma is the only recipient where the infinite can dwell, precisely because Chachma is so transparent, so not aware of itself. That's why it can be. So it's not limited, because it's not holding on to its own parameters. It doesn't have the limitations. So it's open to the infinite. So the infinite resides in Chachma. However, the Alter Rebbe says now, even though there is an Ashra of Ein Sof and Chachma, it's only Ein Sof as it's passing through a tiny little here. Because that's the very important thing. What is the biggest leap? Let me put it this way. What is, in the whole paradigm of Seder Ishtalsos, with things, Ishtalsos means the progression of worlds. What's the biggest leap, we would think like this. Before we spoke that there is Ein Sof, then there is a world of Atzilus which is still God, but God assuming a certain character. And then there is Wrath, the world of creations. And then between each world of creations there is more contractions. Each level has contractions, concealments and so forth. Where is there the biggest breakage? Where is the biggest leap? So generally we would think from God to creation. From Atzilus to Bria, because that's where we're dealing. But we learned already in the mind of this year, Pasach Aliyahu, we learned this many times also. The biggest leap is not from Bria, from Atzilus to Bria, but from God as He is in Himself, in His infinite state, beyond any identity, to Atzilus. Because here already we're dealing from somethingness, somethinglessness, to something. To identifiable beingness, to limitation. It's already defining itself from the end. So here the leap is. Here the leap is endless. Therefore, we know like this. The Hamshacha from Atzilus to Bria, from level to level, is very narrow. The Hamshacha from Atzilus to Bria is very narrow. But it's still a certain It's such a channel. Something flows through it. There's filters and so forth, but it flows. The difference, the hamshacha, the flow of energy from beyond Atzilus to Chachma, from Keset to Chachma, comes in the most minuscule way, and the only manner which can be, where that can be described, is through here. Here's, like here. What if, when we want to show, on a, when we want to indicate, hamshacha that is, that on the one hand, it's something is coming from somewhere. It's deriving energy from somewhere. But on the other hand, we want to show that the way it's deriving the energy is in such a minuscule way where it's almost like that which is being, that which is passing is so insignificant and inferior as if it doesn't exist. We use the example of here. Because what is here? Here is the one thing within the human being that grows from the human being, but you totally don't care about, to the point where you constantly cut him off. Amazing thing. It's something. You wouldn't, you'll cut a chop a piece off yourself, God forbid. But you're here, you're constantly chopping whichever way you want is, or this way or that. Here doesn't make a difference. You keep a chop because it's so. But on the other hand, there is a tiny little bit of expect. There's a little bit of your soul in your here, a little bit of your beingness in your here. It's living. It's alive. That means it's you. But the you over there is so not that it's so external, so insignificant, you don't care about it. Because it's such an external rate of yourself. It's called Maitre Maitre, the leftover, that of your brain, which goes into the rest of your body, the energy, the life force, that is already significant. That's the part of you which you wouldn't, God forbid, sever. But that which is extending in here is the most external, most minuscule of minuscule. To the point it makes no difference to you how many hair you have in your head. To say, yesterday I had so much, today I lost a few hairs, so I'm less of a person today. It doesn't make a difference. It's not a thing. That's the only place where we really speak about here. I mean, the truth is in once you go higher than Chachma Vatzilus, and they would constantly speak of here. But in the rest of the Shtanshulos, meaning from Kesser and onward, we never speak about here. Here, the transmission of here primarily is the transmission of we're here, where God transmits through here, is from Kesher to Chacham. Alright? What does that show? That even though there is an Ein Sof presence in Chachma, I don't know how it's not an oxymoron. It's difficult to say it's Ein Sof, but Ein Sof as it's being so diluted is to say that it's coming through a tiny little here. But that's what it is. So therefore, Chacham itself, with the Ein Sof of it, does not have the power to transmit Bittul into Biyah. You have to get to the source where the hair comes from. Which means, you have to get to the other side, to the real, and that's... But from there you can take only through his. And that's really why mitzvahs are all about transmitting that energy. So that's why, what's the quintessential mitzvah? Tzitzis. Because what is tzitzis? Here! God's here. That's what the tzitzis are. It's the year stemming from a place where the only hamshacha can come to here. That's why tzitzis actually means here. But yikachenu b'tzitzis reishi. There's a pasuk that way. He took me by the tzitzis of my ear. So tzitzis are here. It's God's here. Referring to an hamshacha from... Because here's the point. Since the whole point of mitzvahs is to draw down the bittul of chachma into malchus and into the world... So for that, it can derive from, if the Amshach would be from Chachma onward, you don't draw through here. You draw through more of an openness. But if you need to get to the source of Chachma over there, there's only through a slight little, tiny little tube. Like here is that thin tube. And that's what the tzitzis are. And that's why I'm just saying this. What does tzitzis create? Should I say it now?
Yeah.
All right. So why? That's why. What does tzitzis create? What happens with tzitzis? That's why. What if tzitzis are wool? When it describes God, when the Nabi saw God, he saw God and he saw the sar reishai, and he saw the hair of God's head. He saw ka'amr naka, like clean wool. That was the hair. Tzitzis are made out of wool. The fringes are made out of wool, representing the hair coming from that place. However. What happens to the wool? As the tzitzis extend, what do we do with the wool? We paint them with blue. We paint them with blue. That's the tchelis. Why are they painted with blue? Now listen to this. Why are they painted with blue? Ever looked at a fire? What's on the bottom of the fire? The blue. No, the bottom is blue. The top is bright, the bottom is blue. So the Zohar speaks that there's two colors to fire. There's the bright flame and then the blueness. Where does the blue come from? Or the dark fire? It comes from consuming something that isn't fire. Whatever the fuel that is burning, the consumption, whatever it's, the combustion, this process of combustion, what's combustion? This process of taking something that's not and burning it into the fire, that creates the black, the blue. Means the fire, in essence, in its essential color, is plain bright. That's why the upper part of the flame, where it's already just plain flame, where it's not directly coming from something that's not, it's not burning something other, it's plain bright. The dark color comes from burning up stuff. Yeah, stuff that isn't fire, and now it's burning it up. So that's the inclusion of other substances that aren't fire into the fire. That's the color of, that's the blueness. We're learning over here, what's the point of tzitzis? The point of tzitzis is to reach the other substances, which is creations. In the world of Atzilus, there is also, we spoke about two fires. We spoke about Eish Yud and Eish Hei. What's the difference between the Eish Yud and the Eish Hei? The Eish Yud is the fire in Atzilus. The fire in Atzilus is a plain bright orange flame. Because in Atzilus there's nothing to burn up into God, because everything is God. So there is fire, but it's a pure fire. It's the higher fire. But the ultimate fire is the fire that hovers right above creation. What's that fire that hovers above creation? That's the fire of Jews that are nullifying themselves constantly to God. That's the world being nullified. That's the blue fire. The fire from Isha, that's the feminine fire. There's a masculine fire and the feminine fire. The feminine fire is other substances that are being consumed in God. Now, in order to bring Bittul, in order to create Chelesh, that blueness, that's what the blue color of Chelesh is. It's that blue, which represents the word techle, chelet, the Alter Rebbe, also comes from the word to reshetsa, to know, to destroy. To destroy. But it's to destroy the creations. But destroying over here doesn't mean to destroy them, that they don't exist. To destroy their yeshus, and that they should be nullified and surrender to God. That's what chelet accomplishes. Chelus is that destruction. But how does Bittul have to come from here? Here coming from the level of Kesser, which is the woolen strands coming. God's here, meaning Tamshach has to come from Kesser itself, where Tamshach can only come through here. And where does it extend to? It gets painted on the top, and it ends up even into the world where there's worlds, with our stuff to take themselves seriously, and that they should nullify themselves to God, meaning be consumed in His light, and that's the color of blue fire. So the Ish, the Eish Yud, rides on top, and that's why Tcheles also comes from the word Tachlis. Because what's the Tachlis? What's the ultimate purpose of creation? What's the Tachlis? What's the final thing? The Tachlis that God wanted was not Atzilus, or else God would have stopped in the world of Atzilus. God wants creations. He wants beings. God wants that black fire. There is no bright fire. But the ultimate desire, the tachness of everything, is Nesavak and Isbarakhali for Dira the Tachtaina. God desired to have a dwelling in the lower world. He wants worlds to take themselves very seriously, and nevertheless they nullify themselves to Him. So that's the tachness, is the tcheles, which is the blue fire, which is the ish hei, which comes from the ish yud, but the ish yud can't transmit it unless it gets from a higher place where the thing can only come through strands. And that's why this is the source of all mitzvahs. And that's why by looking on your tzitzis you remember all mitzvahs. Because this is what mitzvahs are all about. Ner mitzvah is about keeping the flame ablaze within the Jew, to cause the ner within the Jew, to cause that fire. The burning up. That's sort of where the Alter Rebbe is going, but there's much more. So let's read. Achim Eyad, and I'm Shachazu. Asher B'tchinesh Chachmi Lol. Okay, yeah. Kihine. So let's understand this. Kihine Li Yizgi Li Yayin Soif Baruch Hu B'Chachma. in order for there to be a revelation of the infinite Chama Chachma. Hagam di'iyu chakim v'loi b'chachma yediyah. Even though he is wise and is not with the right. Even though Chachma over here is a complete different kind of Chachma, it's not a known Chachma. So we're dealing with Chachma on its highest levels. In order for it to be defined in any kind of definition, God who is undefined, that God should even have some subtle identity. The Ein Sof is as his name, so he is. Ein Lo Sof, he has no end. The Ein Lo Tichlo, he has chulu, he has no beginning. Huram v'nisan, he's exalted and beyond. This is called here. Shekamoy lo mashal Cyrus, just like here, Cyrus Arosh. Shein memois rei moichen. They come only from the. How do you translate excess? Excess. Simcha, simcha. What? How do you type? Yeah, moisre, extras. Yeah, like the mois rei moichen. Shein ikasam bechizazam be moichen sheveroish. They're connected to the head. And on the one hand, they're connected because you yank someone by the hair, it hurts. So it's kind of connected. But on the other hand, you can cut them. Because it's, alpha, you know, and the funny thing is, I'm not saying that if you yank someone by the head, it hurts, is actually said in the beard on the mind area. That's why it shows that on the one hand, it's connected. On the other hand, it's so inferior, so insignificant. The alpha became nevertheless a nekrachai shavim moichem imshach behem. The main brain vitality is not drawn into them. If you cut them, it doesn't hurt. But this Amshach is only from the leftover of the mind. So first of all, two things. The Rebbe is saying two, if you look carefully, he's saying two things about how Chachma comes from Keser. First of all, it's from the most external aspect of Keser. It's not from the inner. Secondly, even that comes in at such a tiny little tool, meaning it's so minute. The ask comes always, "Ein ala adamu etzim utzimtzemnes derechol v'sara." It comes through the tiny little hollow of the here. Every here is a little tool, but a little hollow. Kach ha'adav amshach azuli, as Gilead said, "Baruch hu b'chachma." In order for there to be amshach in chachma, who b'chena sairo is, this is called here. She'ein loy erech v'yichus la'atzim utzimuhusar in sech baruch. It has no comparison, no value at all to the very essence of the angel. And it's precisely because it's coming through the hearers that it gets so. Where do we find? Take a look at a human being. What do we find? What do we find in a person that there is the manyness, the mass, and what aspect of which part of a human being is really mass? Limbs, organs, here. Here's our so many here growth. I mean, hopefully, we have a lot of here. So the here is so. What is the so? What does that show? That Ein Sof is singular. It's one. It's God. For the multi, the creation is so diverse. So diversified. So many. So where does it come from? It's because the Ein Sof is transmitted through hears. And every hear is different. Each one is in his own thing. Because each hear has its own little, actually it says each hear has its own little hole where it derives its energy. Each one in their own way. To give life, but God's hear is endless hear. And it gives life to what? To endless worlds. The kulon ain and doinan was eloze, and there aren't two worlds that are the same. There aren't two creations that are the same. Shakol echad echad moved on a chaveri. Every single creation is different than the other. Behind them, and what really differentiates, especially spiritual creations. Physical creations are different because they have a different nose. But. What? Slow-mo. What differentiates physical creations? What makes creations, you see the difference? What makes spiritual creations different from each other? So that's, each one has a different comprehension, different understanding. It doesn't have a physical being to say this is this and that. Dar and dar mean that each one comprehend God differently. one's grasp is not the same as the other. Elechein nikra shichli and nirdalim. And that is why they're called shichli and nirdalim. I don't know how to translate that. Simcha, what's shichli and nirdalim? No, but separate intelligence. Because what the reasons they're called separate intelligence, one of the reasons are, is because what separates one from each other is just their level of intelligence. Because there isn't a physical form that would separate the angels. What makes one angel different than the other? It's conception is different. Shein havdalam evdalam v'shalkusam elot chenasichlam v'shagasam. What separates and differentiates them is only their understanding. The balav achol eshayach ben pirud. Shein elo begashmius. The physical things, you can say one thing is different than the other, shatekas mokim. Physical things occupy space. So this is here and this is there, and that's what separates them. But angels don't occupy space. It's not this one is here and that one is there. They're like concepts, like ideas. Even though on some of the pictures you see them with wings and all kinds of stuff. But really, what separates them is just different ideas. So in each world, so that's because they come from the strands over here. And it's from that place, when we say that from there comes the bittul, it doesn't mean from the here, it means from where the here comes from. And it's channeled through the here into Malchus to bring bittul into Malchus. It brings a recognition of the Ein Sof into the creations. Everybody according to his level, which enables the creation thereby to be nullified and to have a sense of bittul to God, and to have that Eish, that Isha, the Eish Hei. The Zahu, and this is the meaning of Ahoy Lechem L'Tzitzis. It should be for you for Tzitzis. Or Re'isa Moisa, you should see it. The Ka'al Psil Techeles. Referring to particularly to the Psil Techeles, to the Techeles one, to the blue one. The Le'elman Eba Pasik, Higde HaKoidim, yeah. Or the Le'elman Eba Pasik HaKoidim, which is related to the last Pasik, which speaks about the Techeles. The Techeles Imrahu. And Techeles is wool. And what is the idea of the Techeles being wool? U'b'chinez v'sah reishay ka'amir naka. This is the idea of what? Of the sah reishay ka'amir naka, that the strands of his hair, the hair of his head, is like clean wool. Shehem b'chinez sairis anal, these are these hairs. Ela shenitzba begavin Techeles. It has been dyed Techeles. Shekashen nimshach l'maka, when this energy of keser, of the Ein Sof, is drawn down through the tzitzis, Nasa Techeles, it becomes Techeles. It becomes blue. What does it mean? Sha'agavan ahu hu minahoyre tata. That color represents the lower fire. Hanechezes b'psila. The bluish aspect of the fire is from the part of the fire that is being held on to the wick, and it's burning something. Shekasha mechala ezedav argashmi. When it's burning is when it's consuming something physical. Hanechez boy. K'moy b'psila, like a wick. By etzim or wood, mishtana hagava l'techeles. So the lower fire that's hovering right above the wood or above the wick becomes bluish, because that represents something that's not fire being consumed in the fire. That's the idea. So when this bittul reaches beyond atzilus and it reaches into biyah, into bria, tzirasiyah, that's when it starts creating the lower fire, which is the fire of the blue fire. The fire of other substances being burning into God. I just, over here we're going to take a little intermission, but we're going to go over to the next minor, which is explanation of this minor, and I just want to read a little bit of the minor over here, because it enriches this a lot, to explain something. You see on page 90, there's a parenthesis. It says like this. When we say that this consumes and burns, this is what we were talking about in the beginning of the Maimon. It doesn't burn to nullify, to destroy. It burns to include. There's two kinds of burning. There's a burning of destruction, and there's a burning of inclusiveness. So, the Tachazi, so he brings the Zohar. Look at the Zohar. Afagav the Orche Dahai Nahoira. even though it is the style of this light, of this flame, Malchus is this fire that burns up. It's Nohaira Tichla, of this, it calls it Nohaira Tichla, of this blue fire. Uchma, the blackened fire. Reshetza, command is David Bey, to wipe out everything that connects to it, to Chesai under it. However, the only ones that don't get burnt up is Yisrael Mizdaf Kinvei, Techisayin, V'kayim and V'kiyume. Jews connect to this place, and this fortifies them. This doesn't destroy them. Hadohu Dichsiv, and this is what it says, V'atem Abzeikim V'ashem Olekeichem Chayim Kuchem. And you who cleave to God, you are alive. Others that would cleave to this place would be overwhelmed and destroyed it. But you are Piddish, what does that mean? He inyan the archel the shape soil. What does it mean? It's the style to destroy. This is similar to what it says, the sages said, one time God got upset at the angels and he stuck his pinky out amongst them and they were all burnt up. What does that mean? He revealed a little bit more than what they can handle, and they blew a fuse. Shahoy Siddakud Baruch Edzba Haktana Benay and the Sarfan and he burnt them. So Malchus is what? Malchus is that fire. By the way, that's black fire. Dark fire is the fire of Malchus. Isha, the woman fire. Which is Malchus. Malchus is the woman, feminine. So Malchus is that blackened fire. Because Malchus is the one that deals with creations. Higher than Malchus is what we said before, there's no creation yet, it's all within God. But Malchus is the place, the interface between God, it's that place with the interaction between, so Malchus is called, that's why, what did the Meraglim say? The Meraglim, the spies, this is the Parsha Shalach, but the Meraglim, what did the Meraglim say about Israel? Israel we know is Malchus. Israel represents Malchus, it's Eretz, it's the land. What did they say about it? They said, Eretz Eicheles Yeshevel. It's a land that consumes its inhabitants. Meaning it's a land that, simply it means it's a holy land. And if you live over there, you just get consumed by godliness. You lose your identity. Simply, it said that they saw people die. And it says, what does it mean? It says when they were traveling, they saw people dying all over. And they said, hey, this place kills itself. And they didn't know that non-Jews it kills, but Jews alone kill. And it's a chelas yeshveh, it eats it, it consumes it. So the Meraglim, let's go two lines before the parentheses. V'zeu inyan eretz echeles yeshvel. This is what it means, that the land that consumes its inhabitants. Malchus introduces, gives this bittul. Zaksha ha-meraglim amru zeu l'lashon hara. The Meraglim says it as bad thing. Ki ha-meraglim shakranim hoy. Because our Meraglim were liars. The spies were liars, and they said it consumes, meaning they said over there there's such a revelation of God, it will consume us. So we will stay in the wilderness. But in truth, this is praise. Because you will cleave to God, I'm not destroyed by this, but quite on the contrary, you're intent, you become alive through this. Because a Jew lives through bittul. Bittul doesn't nullify a person. Bittul is what you're really all about. Bittul gives you joy. Each time you surrender your ego to God, you come into a deeper connection to you. You're more you, you're not less you. Because this is who you really are. It's to be a conduit of God's light. It's only there's a distortion. There is the Gentile external part of the Jew which is Goyishkeit, that makes us think that our true identity is beingness. The true identity of the Jew is not being this. Back to what we were learning. The land that consumes. The truth is, bittul, they will be nullified from their existence. As it says, God stuck his finger out to suffer when he burnt them. But in truth, it's not so. The main chayus is bittul. When you're not, then you really are. Why? Because if you're claiming beingness, so go ahead, be. Being without God, there's no existence without God. So when someone wants to claim his existence as an independent, autonomous existence, that itself separates him from the source of life. Because we don't have any existence but coming from God. So if one sees himself as a continuation, as a conduit of God's life, and he's completely nullified, he includes himself in God's existence. God is eternal. God is real. God is absolute. So then your existence is eternalized and forever. But if one wants to separate himself to be not in nullification, not one with God, then that's temporary, momentary existence. The Einoi Bitul Mimitiyasam Lagamra Chas V'Shalom. It's not that it nullifies you from existence. The Sham Shani, but why the angels did it? And God stuck his pinky out and destroyed them. Because over there it was a punishment. Shaila Einish. Alkein is Batul Mimitiyasam Lagamra. That's why they were totally nullified. Ma'ashen came the Bitul Benishmas Yisroel, which isn't the case in nullification of Jewish souls. Adar Abed, the contrary, Al Yadei Ba'atam Avveikim, it's through their cleaving, Chayim Kulchem. That's life. And the reason is because we were never created to be such concrete, thick, stuffy creations. We were created in a subtle manner. So when we come back to our source, it doesn't wipe. The Zohar says like this: Tachazi, come and see. All the higher creations, in that light, when that light radiates upon them, they're absorbed in that light. They're included in that light. It doesn't destroy them. It includes them. I will tell you, but the lower creations, lav hachi, the inan milagasa, meaning the klipot and so forth, they're thick. And therefore, if their life source is exposed to them, it wipes them out. It destroys them. But begin kach achol v'shatulay. And for that reason, it wipes them out. Had a mavur, it is explained, the nehoira tichla loy achol v'shati. So you see from here that this dark fire does not destroy rak milagasa, only thick words, thick things. The hainu hayesh the klipas noida, that's the yesh of klipa, shudav ezar lagamu, which sees itself as something completely apart from God. Lo yuchal lil kolol b'tchinas malchus, cannot be consumed by malchus, doesn't want to be consumed by malchus. It says malchus is this great animal that eats 1,000 mountains every day. What does that mean? Just huge mountain. It means that all the nullification of all the of souls that are all included in malchus, all the Jewish souls and angels that are included, becomes part of the food of malchus. What does that mean? We're included in God and we live as being in Him, not as separate entities. Now, kiim. Dark thick things, they can only be absorbed in Malchus if they stop being. The klipa is completely eradicated. Which isn't the case of the higher beings, the Sitra Kedusha of the side of holiness. Even though they become included, the Bittul, someone doesn't destroy them. Or rather, this is what really gives them their existence. The Efshar, this is an amazing, that is what God showed Moshe Rabbeinu, the first vision, the snare, the burning bush. He showed him the snare was burning, but wow, the snare was not being consumed. And it wasn't being destroyed. The Jewish people are called the snare, the snare. They can burn, meaning it. The Efshar says, "Oh, in Yemar Asneh." The Efshar says, "Baruch Hu L'Moshe D'Tziv." It says, "Asneh, the bush, boyer be'esh." It was burning in a fire of Asneh and Uko, but it wasn't getting consumed. Meaning, it wasn't eating them up. K'mashikas the Medrash Rabbi Shmoyis. Nakan Amru Ha'esh Shalamayla. From here, we see that the fire from above, Sarefes, it can burn. The Einai Chalas, but it doesn't consume. The Hainu Kid the Pirisham the Sneh Hani Yisrael. The Sneh is the Jewish Yid. It came after the Gemara said, "Pei Beit Shabbos." Hasneh, Hasneh, Mishim, the Maiches Mikol Ilana. It's the lowest of all trees, meaning it has bittul. It's not so. The Hainan Al Berach Ki Atam Amaat Mikol Amin. God says the reason I love you is because you're the least of all the nations. God says I don't love you because you're more than all the nations, not because of your big somethingness. I love you because you're not, because you're the ones who are the least into yourselves, and you can surrender to me, and you can be not. You lower yourself. And we find the first Jew was the one who said, "I am dust and ashes." And it's because of that, God is not seen as a threat to our existence. The Al-Kain, and therefore, What does it mean, sereches hasasna? It burns it. It means the fire gives the snare the burning. It creates within the Jewish soul the burning, the desire to want to be consumed, but it doesn't nullify it. It delivers this flaming, fiery, burning furnace within the Jewish soul, because bitterayesh, to nullify it, doesn't nullify it from its existence, chas v'shalom. This is its chayis. Okay, so here we're going to learn over here. And we're going to go back to the main mind. Kachal derech mashal, and so too, by way of analogy, amru. So therefore, the sages say, what? How? The sages said like this. By looking at the tcheles, we will remember all the mitzvahs. It will bring yirah shamayim. It will bring fear of God. Why? They said like this. Tcheles looks like the sea. Tcheles dome liyam. Tcheles is the same color like the sea. It comes from the sea and it looks like the sea. And we're going to mention it. It's interesting. I'm going to mention it soon. First it appears to this. And the sea looks like the Rikia. Looks like the sky. And the sky, Dome Elekise Akov. The sky looks like... The sky appears... The sky appears the same like the Kise Akov. So what does that mean? So he says, so by looking at the Tchelus, you're going to think about God. Why? Because it's a far call. You look at your tzitzis, and you remember the sea. When you remember the sea reflects the sky. And you think the sky looks like the Kisei HaKavod, so it looks like God. The Kisei HaKavod, you remember God. Because it ultimately reminds you of the Kisei. But what is the meaning to that? Kisei HaKavod represents the realm of Malchus. Malchus is that which brings Bittul into the creations. That's how Malchus gives life to the world, through Bittul. The early recipients of Malchus receive from Malchus only through their utter nullification to Malchus. Malchus is barach the level of Malchus. Shenikra Eretz, that's called Eretz, a Cheles Yeshvel. That's called Eretz that consumes its. So that's why you have Cheles. Cheles is doim le kisya kavod, because kisya kavod is Malchus, which gives that bittul. Shamasha Olam is makavim chiyusam. You know this, that the Olam is receiving its chayus from Malchus. Why they are bittul the eskalos? It's through their nullification to it. Shemakamlam aleim o Malchus shamayim. Accept upon themselves the yoke of heaven. The bittul the likolul the mekayram, to be nullified to their source. Masha enkim chinas nifrat. Now again, even though we said before Malchus doesn't have bittul, Malchus creates the world to be. It's only through the yud that's put into Malchus. True. But once the yud is already put in Malchus, once it's the Chachma Yasad Aretz, that Chachma influences Malchus, so the way Malchus gives life to its creations is not in a manner where it gives them and they're spoiled or, you know, feel themselves apart from it, but it gives them in a manner where it demands a constant return. It demands a constant bittul to it. Mashenkim chinas nifrid v'sitra achra. The sitra achra, the unholy creations, the other side, they cannot receive from Malchus directly. They receive through... There has to be... Go through very, very indirect ways. It has to travel through... Because they don't want to have bittul. So it has to go... has to be stolen energy. Okay, here it's falling off. That's right. And since the creations are what? Creations that are, they're somebody, they're a thing. So it's like fire that is burning on a substance that's not fire and consuming it. That's why Malchus is called, it eats that which lives on it. Eretz Echelas Yishvel, it eats, it consumes those creations that live off it, that are being created from it. Like fire that fell down. That's why this Hamshach of Chayes from Malchus, to give life to the creation from nothing to something, is called Cheles, because it not only creates them, but it burns them. And that's why the Cheles comes from the word to annihilate. Shuamshachas habitul liyas hayesh bata. That the something that is created should be bata. V'zeh udayim ala kiseh hakavet. This is also what he says, he's comparing it to the kiseh hakavet. The kiseh hakavet means the God's throne. Ki kiseh b'chinas bitul. Because that's where the throne is. It's also the level of bitul. K'moish ha'kiseh bata l'gab ha'yoshev ala. Just like the chair is completely humble to the one that's sitting on it. So the chair allows itself to be sat on the whole time. So to God's chair represents the fact that the creations allow themselves for God to sit on them. Meaning that they're completely nullified to Him. That's the idea of Kiseh HaKavod. More in detail, the Tzemach Tzedek explains these four stages. But here he only directed Chelas directly to the Kiseh HaKavod. Kiseh HaKavod, which is the level of Malchus, which creates Bittul in the creations. But more in detail. Cheles is compared to the Yam. The sea, he spoke many times, is a world of Bittul. Because all the creations are completely submerged in their source. On dry land, the creatures exist separate from their source. They're very, creations on dry land are very discreet and noticeable. The ocean is just one living ocean. Everything lives, it's like the level of Malchus where all creations are subsumed in it. Still embedded in it. So that's the level of sea. Dry land is a world of period, of separation. So, and that's why, as you said before, the Chelas comes from the sea. Because it's here, its idea is to bring into dry land something of the awareness of the sea. It's trying to transport into the worlds of Yesh from that reality where things are still absorbed in their source. So the Chelas comes from the ocean and transmits it into the sea, and the ocean, it brings the idea of, and that's why it says Doim al Yam. It's supposed to bring you back to the Yam, to the sea. I'm supposed to, just one second, it's supposed to bring you back to that, to the sea, where everything is bitter. And more than that, the Yam now, Doim al Rekia. The Yam is, now, Malchus, now, over here the Rebbe says, Kisha covered as Malchus. But in the Tzemach Tzedek, he says it differently. Malchus is called Yam. So, because at least Malchus, because in the higher levels where Malchus transmits, it's like still a level, like full of sea. The creations are still submerged in Malchus. Let's say in the world of Bria, the first world, all souls and angels are completely embedded in it. So it's like the sea. So Malchus is called Yam. Yam Doma Lerikia. When we said earlier, Malchus itself is already words. Words already are identifiable, are spoken. Where is their higher bittul? In Zah, the Zeir Ampin, in the six emotions, which precede Malchus. So that's called Rekia. And one spoke that the Shamayim comes from Eish and Mayim, Chesed and Gevurah. So therefore, the level of Zah, the Eir Ampin, which is the source where Malchus comes from, which is the Ishi, the husband, who transmits to Malchus, that's called what? That's called Rekia. So Malchus is Bittul, but where does the real Bittul come from to Ein Sof? It comes from Rekia. So Yam reflects the blueness, and that's what we know. What is the blueness? The sea really is not blue. Where does the sea get its blueness? It gets it from Rekia, from the sky, which is the Zah. Zah Doimel Kiseh HaKavod. Kiseh, Bina is called Olam HaKiseh. Bina is called the sheep. Kavod, Kiseh HaKavod is the world of Bina. Kavod is Gematria 32. Kavod is Gematria 32. Kiseh HaKavod means the recipient of 32. We know that Chachma transmits to Bina, Lamed Beis Neshivos Chachma. There are 32 pathways of Chachma through which the light of Chachma channeled down into Bina. So Kiseh HaKavod, Kiseh is the recipient of Kavod. What's the real quintessential Bittul? Where does Bittul really begin? In Chachma, Koach, Koachma. So really all goes back to the Koachma. Right? So Yam, so your chitzis that you're wearing, Dom Yam, that's, but where is it really blue? Down here below. Because over here we're dealing with real substances that are they're really entities other than God that need to be brought to a state of submission, to a state of inclusiveness. So here, and the stages are all the way up till you get to Kiseh HaKavod. By the way, that is why chitzis are 32 strands of tzitzis. Right? Why are there 32 strands of tzitzis? There's 8 on each one. 8 times 4 is 32. because it's 32 lamed days in Sivas HaChachma that are drawing the Bittul down into the Tcheles, into the world of the Yah. And more than that, Sitzis, first they're wool, then they become, well, in the level of the simply wool, it's from Keser. It's that plain strand stemming from Keser that is still even beyond the lamed days in Sivas HaChachma. Then they're woven into the 32 strands once they enter into Chachma. From there, 32, translated into, till it gets down into Tchelos, into the world of beingness, to create Isha, to create the feminine fire, which is the blue fire, which comes from the consumption of stuff into Godliness. Simple words, it means to enable us to be able to surrender ourselves to Hashem and be happy doing so. Not feel, be excited in being intimate and one with it. Feel it like becoming connected and becoming that. Aha. Yeah, so this is the whole piece. Yes, what were you saying? I forgot your question. Yeah. The happiness comes from because one feels that that's their real beingness. You finally feel, oh, this is where I really am. Not it's not a threat. Not destroying you. It's who you're. Yeah. Ah. However, here's the thing. Oh, wait. If you think this is finished, oh, the Alter Rebbe has some good stuff coming up. Ah, hamshachazu, tuliyah b'avodas Yisrael. All of this, but this makes it so beautiful. Why this is the mitzvah to remember all the mitzvahs. But now, here's the thing. To set this whole cyclone in motion, to set this whole thing in motion, which means that the Jews, again, the ultimate is there should be an Isha, there should be a fireman. But in order to have that, you need to have a transmission from Ish Yud, mitzvahs, bring down that reality of Chachma down into Malchus. We reach that. The mitzvahs, they transmit the Ish Yud. But how do you have, the question is like this. We learned in what's it called again early MMR. What we see over here is that we're dealing over here with the transmission of man to the woman, to giving her that fire. But what stimulates the man in the first place to want to give? Because what stimulates this whole drop to come from Yud, from Chachma, into, to become Esh Yud, to go into all the limbs and then transmit it into the Isha? So you need, man needs to be first provoked by the woman. So it's true, the woman will receive her real first fire from the man. But first the woman has to provoke the man. So then, and then the man will give. And so in order to create this whole thing, that the mitzvah should have that masculine yud energy in it, of bittul, transmitting that into malchus, and that malchus flare up with a constant fire of burning back upward, it will begin with malchus. It begins with woman first initiating. And what does the woman have to do? Mitzvahs. But what do you mean? Mitzvahs are not yet mitzvahs. We're dealing with, you need to create the mitzvahs to be mitzvahs. So here's an interesting thing. There's two levels of mitzvahs. There's one level of mitzvahs which are called masculine mitzvahs and are feminine mitzvahs. Because there's 248 mitzvahs. 248 mitzvahs we spoke earlier are the 248 limbs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the level of God called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the level of the 248 limbs, Zaz Erampin, that's the... Now, but there is also mitzvahs called mitzvah hamelech. A level of mitzvahs where mitzvahs are not in the level of Ze'er Ampin, but mitzvahs are in the level of Malchus. And then they're called mitzvah hamelech, commandments of the king. Things like this. There's two, and when you're doing a mitzvah, you can do a mitzvah two ways. Let's talk in a simple, very simple way. Try to get, it's very deep, but try to find it just a very simple way. When you're doing a mitzvah, you can do two things. One attitude in doing the mitzvah is simple obedience. God is my king and I'm a servant. He told me to do something, I will do his will. Another way of doing the mitzvah is you're doing the mitzvah because you want to be attached to him. And you're bonding with him, like a husband and a wife. It's a cleaving, it's a connection, it's a bonding, it's an absolute fusion of God and the Jewish soul and oneness. What's the difference? Over here you're uniting, and over here you're just surrendering. You're doing the mitzvah because you are you, there's something separate of him, and you're surrendering with simple obedience to him. That's the difference of mitzvahs, when mitzvahs are in Malchus and when mitzvahs are in Zoh, the Eir Amp in the sixth. When mitzvahs are in Malchus, the content of the mitzvah is God is a king, he's our subject, he's commanding his subject certain things. When mitzvahs, however, are in Zeir Amtin, in the higher level, mitzvahs of Zah, that's when the mitzvahs are, and that's when they're called feminine mitzvahs, because they're coming from Malchus, the world, the feminine world. When mitzvahs, however, are in the level of Zah, then Zah, remember, means the masculine side of God, then the mitzvahs are all about bonding with us, meaning connection. The idea that we learned now, to draw down the tipa, to draw down the drop from the mind down into Malchus to cause that bonding to take place. The man has to want. There has to be the desire in God to transmit. How does that get provoked? By a much simpler service. It begins with us doing mitzvahs as with simple obedience. In other words, the Jew is not yet infuriated with a fire, with a bombing. He's not embracing and hugging and kissing God. That's not taking place yet. What's taking place is just simple obedience. I ask you to do something, please do it. Because I said so. And that, see, the fire and the thirst of the soul, that's already a level. Not everybody's always ready there. But the simple obedience to go and put the tefillin on because God said so, to go keep Shabbos, to do whatever the mitzvah is, to give tzedakah, these things can be done in a simple way of obedience. That's stimulating malchus, because that's mitzvah samelch. The lowest level of divinity is being touched. Malchus is being touched. God is being the king over the universe. When you tap someone on their toe, their brain feels it. And once their brain feels it, there can be already an interaction from the brain down to the rest of the body. But first we have to tap God on his toe, kiviyach. The toe of God is the lowest aspect of godliness is malchus. So it begins with what? It begins with Jews doing mitzvahs with simple obedience. Kabbalah's hope. It was called, not with the fire, not with the passion, with Kabbalah's. Once that happens, that causes God here to transmit the Ein Sof light, which is in Chachma, down through all the limbs, and then it becomes Ish, and he embraces his wife, he embraces his Isha. When that happens, what does that create in the woman? An incredible passion back to God. We're now, the mitzvah has a different meaning. The mitzvah is not just about obedience, the mitzvah is about merging with him. And there's a deep relationship taking place. So there is a twofoldness in the mitzvah. First the initial mitzvah, then the passion in the mitzvah. So it works from us to God, from God to us, and then back from us, back up. From us to God is simple doing of a mitzvah. Then from God to us is, now God inserts his masculine energy into the mitzvahs. Well, the mitzvahs are not just mitzvahs of Malchus, they're mitzvahs of Zah, which is the idea of what? The mitzvahs of Zeir Ampin, which is the idea of the mitzvahs are filled with the Yud light. It's the Yud, the energy of Yud entering into the mitzvahs to imbue them. It's like the transmission of the man to the woman. At that moment, the man it's going through all the limbs to be transmitted to the woman, to Malchus. But at that point, and then that invokes in Malchus a new fervor, a new yearning, a new desire, which is a much deeper desire, a deep connection. So you have the Ish, the simple doing of the mitzvah, and that's the idea of, this is, no one would have thought of this, Raman Tizkiru. Tizkiru means to remember, but the Alter Rebbe learned, Raman Tizkiru as kol mitzvah is Hashem,
you should masculinize the mitzvahs. Zachar. It's our job to make the mitzvahs masculine, because the mitzvahs themselves, as they initially begin, are just on the level of malchus. And when they're on the level of malchus, then they're in the feminine. Because malchus is female. So the mitzvahs are just mitzvahs hamelech. But when we do the mitzvah, which in that feminine form, when we do the mitzvah, simple obedience to God, with Kabbalah soul, just because God said so, that entices him, that gets him excited. And when he gets him excited, that gets the masculine-ish involved in the mitzvahs. And now, tis through us called mitzvahs of Hashem, now the mitzvahs become zachor, means male. The mitzvahs become masculine to transmit that masculine energy, and then the woman becomes a woman. So it's like, first the woman, meaning, what do you mean, she becomes an eshe. In order to have the eshe, you need to me'ish l'chazai, it has to come from the man. So you need the transmission of the man to the woman. But what stimulates the man to give in the first place? That's why the simple woman being simplistic in just, in a sense, like the woman doing her husband's wish, just that's the idea. And then that will create that desire, which will later create the fervor back, which will create the Isha Eshe. And that's the way one works on the other. So let's read. Hamshach Hazua Tluya Bavodas Yisrael. It's dependent on the Jewish servant. Lamat. Shehein Heim Amamshichim Besaruzad Latata. They're the ones who draw down through their arousal from below. Through the act of mitzvah that they do down here, machmas shetzivo yamelech. They have to do it because the king commanded. This arouses the arousal of above. Here's it. Why does God have to be stimulated? Just simply, for ain souls to come down into these narrow here, why would he want to do that? It's after all such a narrow channel. So in order for him to come down nimshach b'chinas chacham into chacham and then l'ramach evarim into the 248 limbs, the malka hem ha-mitzvahs, which are the mitzvahs shetiyen o'keilim v'evidim, but the mitzvahs should be vessels and organs. L'espashetu slavish b'hem b'chinas chacham ilah, for chacham ilah to be expanded and enclosed in them. Kadesha b'hem val yadam yimshach ha-gilu v'mata. In order that the mitzvahs should serve as conduits and channels for it to the light to come down below, for the mitzvahs to be able to be mashpia, the revelation of chachma, the kayachma. So the mitzvah should serve more than just a command of God. It should be God himself. That's the difference between a command. A command means he's commanding. You don't want the mitzvah just to be a commandment of God, which he's issuing forth. You want the mitzvah to be God himself. It should be God's organs, his limbs, his very being. For that to happen, the Jews are the ones who accomplish that. We looked at this last week. We learned that only Jews can evoke the tainug, the oneg in mitzvahs. There's only where you have oneg. That's why they're the vessel for the ner mitzvah. Because they are the only ones who can create that delight that God should be delighted. And once there's the delight, then there is the desire. And once there is the desire, so the Jews create the mitzvahs. So particularly, what do you mean they create the mitzvahs? They create the mitzvahs by doing mitzvahs. Because mitzvahs themselves have two stations. Mitzvahs as they are in malchus, that we don't have to create. And then mitzvahs as they are zah, that's what we have to make. Because we have to create. Why do we have to create that? Because that's a tremendous lowering for God. That he has to come down from Ein Sof. That he should himself be invested in these mitzvahs. He should assume that those limbs, those organs. So that needs to happen. You have to masculinize the mitzvahs. Basisem osam, make the mitzvahs mitzvahs. You're going to make that. Kaloimar shatasu es ha-mitzvahs. We create this. Liyoy b'chinas charim, to make the mitzvahs be men. Now, ha-mashpiyam gili ha-chachma, that they should transmit that masculine energy, u'chinas ha-bitl, so that they should make liyoy slamata bitl ha-yesh k'nishkel el, so that down here there should be bitl, the bitl ha-yesh. Because without it, you say, but don't we start with bitl? We're doing the mitzvah. A different kind of a bitl. There is a bitl when you're doing the mitzvah because God's the boss. That's one way. That's what you begin with. And then there is a deeper when you become completely included in Him. It's not just you and Him are one. That's a deep. That's what I said before. You can do a mitzvah just as a servant. You can do a mitzvah as becoming, as a wife, as becoming totally united and one with Him. That's the later stage. That's only if you have the Ish-Hei. To have the Ish-Hei, you have to first have the Ish-Yud. To stimulate the Ish-Yud, you have to have the sinful obedience. So one works on the other. However, here, the Alter Rebbe is awesome. It says in the Vavati, it says, V'loi sasuru achei lavacha. Whatever the verse says, don't go after your hearts. Don't go astray after your hearts. Asher atim zonim, that you are being drawn away. You're being distracted, or you're being tempted or seduced. Znus mikra b'chinas eslav. Now, what does that mean? Znus mikra b'chinas eslav was v'rish pe'ei zara. What is nus? Znus means that what? That a person has a fire and a burning, an alien fire. K'moy zayna. What's a zona? A zona, which is a prostitute, so a zona means halahuta achazara. She's yearning after zara, after strangers, others that are not her husband. So she got the real zona as a woman who's married and she has a husband, but she goes off and has an affair with someone else. So what does that mean? That her yearning, instead of it being from her recipient, which is her husband, she's going somewhere else. So when the Jew has, just one second, when the Jew has a yearning in his heart to receive the light from somewhere else, so that's like the woman, the woman is supposed to be the Isha, Eishei. And if that heart is seeking pleasure elsewhere, seeking the light, seeking to be received from everywhere else, so that's already creating a zona. Now what happens is, a woman, once she has a relationship with someone else, she's forbidden to her husband. Which means that for a Jew to be able to experience this intimacy, this connection in doing the mitzvah, it's such a deep connection with God, the Torah says, but don't become his owner. Because if you become his owner, I can't be intimate with you anymore. So what does that mean? So right after this it says, V'lo sasur achen levachem, halahuta achazorim, v'sarim achri baila, she's turning away from her husband. Shakol hanos hapshichas la'adam, and he did it. We're not even dealing over here with the forbidden, the opposite. No, it's not talking about the forbidden. Of course the forbidden is forbidden. It means that a person's heart cannot be open to anything else but to God. Because all other things that a person needs, a person needs to the light of this world. But all the things that a person needs to the light of this world needs to be bekridus, needs to be with coldness. The sages say that a person should have relationships and so on. It should be done as if one is being forced. Forced by a demon. And that refers to all physical pleasures. Any physical delight that a person is involved in needs to be done almost like a coerced. I mean, that's not where your heart is. Your heart isn't yearning for the divine intimacy. The commandment is all to say, just say, Teirosan Kiva. The Torah needs to be Kiva, needs to be the main thing in a person's life. Malachtan Ara. And one's work needs to be Arai, secondary. Pidish Are, Derech Are. Are means like, it just happens to be, it's like temporary. It's not that you're into it. Beli Hislatus, without fire. Hislavus v'chamim esalev. One's involvement in physical things, materialistic things, needs to be without the fire of the heart. Shaloi lasay sa'ikr, not to make it the main thing. V'keshem sha'azoy nasir elabaylo, and just like the zona is forbidden to her husband, v'meshakotzev, as it says, ishki sister, if a man or his wife goes astray. The he nitma asher becomes impure. Kach nisha nimshach achar eish zara asheloi lasher. Someone is drawn after that strange fire, that alien fire that is not for God. Mahavle olam in the foolishness of the world, the tanug is b'nayada and the desires of people. Lo yachol is tchinas isha eish hei. Cannot be a woman. She cannot be a woman, which is eish hei. Lekabel meish. Cannot receive from Ish, Eishyud. Wow. Interesting over here, he doesn't say it, but an explanation of the mind. It says about women, one thing about women is Daiton Kalos. Das is light. What does it mean? That one of the explanations is given is that the woman can only love one thing. We find this in relationships. a man can feel that he loves more than one. A woman can only feel she has to have one, and all her passion needs to be to one, because that's just the nature of the woman, that she doesn't have. Now, of course, we all need to be women in this respect of only having one, not many. But a mashpia, that's why a man is allowed, technically according to the Torah, a man is allowed to have more than one wife. The woman can only have one husband, because the makabel can only have one mashpia. It needs to come from one place and nowhere else. So therefore, once one turns their heart elsewhere to seek, then they can't be any more alive. They've lost that thing. So therefore, the Rebbe says over here, the Tanuz Ne'ad Lo Yochel Yisunet Isha Eishei Lekabel Ne'ish Eish Yud K'mon Shekasa B'Rabbis Kehelis Al-Pasrik V'Dabar Ti'ami Yom Libi. It says in the Medrash Rabbah, I spoke to my heart, Alev Sote, the heart is the Sote. Shenemer Al Yashit Al Derchecha Lipcha, Alev Zone, the Lev is the Zone. Shenemer Aloy Sassuru Achei Levatcha, Mashat Mzoyne Machrei. Al Zen Nemar, and on this it says, Sur Merav Asei Tov, turn away from evil and do good. What does it mean, turn away from evil and do good? The Rebbe says like this, Tov Zeha Oyer, Toiv is light. Vayaru lekimus ha'or kitov. The light is what light? The light of the Ein Sof, that's light. In order that our mitzvah should contain Ein Sof when we're doing something, so we have to be a woman receiving from the Ish. But in order to have that, you have to be Sur Meira. Because if there's no Sur Meira, you can do mitzvahs. Put it this way. A person can do mitzvahs even if they sinned, and even if they've been around, even if they've done stuff that made them be a Zona. They can still do mitzvahs, but then they can only do the lower level of mitzvahs, of the mitzvahs being mitzvahs hamelech, meaning the mitzvahs of simple obedience to God, on the level of God is God, we are His subjects and we're serving Him. But to be able to do mitzvahs with this, in this way of complete unity and fusion and oneness, of being God's wife, and having that connection, that can only be if the person is not a zone. So that's why God is saying, Sur Meira, only if it's Sur Meira, turn away from evil, then it can be Asei Tov. Then Tov, which we refer to light, the Ein Sof light can permeate in those mitzvahs. But Tov Zahor Klein, Shekadei Sheyia Maisa Me'ir in the Eir and Shei Faruchu, in order for the mitzvahs to illuminate from the Ein Sof, Sarech Liyot Tchila Sur Meira, needs to be first departing from evil. V'loi Sosudu Achei Levatchem, don't go after one's heart. Levatchem Daich. And the Rebbe is saying, it doesn't even mean only doing sins, means only even allowing the heart to just go there. Sha'alevu miyasoy be'esh. And more than that, why the heart? Because we're talking about isha is esh hay. It's the fire. It's the burning for. And that's why the part of the person that's the fire needs to be. And the heart is where the fire is. So the heart has to remain completely in holiness. Ayadezan, through this, laman tizikiru. So the verse continues. After it says, uzachartan of kol mitzvah Hashem, that you will masculinize the mitzvahs. It says also, Laman tizkiru, so that you will be masculine. Laman, why so you will? Aren't we talking about the whole time over here that we have to be the recipient? Because here's the thing. In holiness, in the world of Kedusha, the man is the woman and the woman is the man. Because we're not dealing really with two. Because it's a world of achdus, of oneness. So over there, the Jewish soul, which is the recipient, is also the transmitter. It's also the mashpia. The Rebbe says, in the world of pirud, in the world of separation, if you're a recipient of something, which we do become every time we yearn to seek pleasure, to receive pleasure from something, we become a wife, we become a nukva, we become a female, and a recipient, and we're only a recipient, we're not a giver. But in kedusha, in holiness, in God, there is not siphon, but chilasan, chilasan, the siphon. The beginning is edged, wedged in the end. Malchus is a giver just like she's a receiver. So when Malchus is a recipient, she's also a giver. But that's only if she's connected. If she's the wife of God, then she's a giver. But if she's a wife of something else, then she's only feminine. She's only a recipient. So in order for the woman to be tizkiru, for her to be zachar, For that, she needs to be connected. She needs to be, she can't have the Azona. Because she's not Azona, she can't be the wife of God. So one thing, let's read it inside. We're the Kala, right? But sometimes it's referred, the Jews are called the Chasin, and the Torah is called the, it says, God, we married the Torah is the bride. Some of the places it refers to the Torah being God's daughter, and God looked who's going to marry her, and he found the son-in-law. The Jewish people are called the son-in-law, to which God gives the Torah. So what does that show? That us, the recipients of the Torah, are also, the Torah is the recipient of us. So that's what we were saying before. Who is the one who can draw down, make the mitzvahs the mitzvahs? Is only the Jewish soul. Which means we're the mashpiyim into Torah. So in that sense, with so, b'tchinazu amra al tikna my rasha elo mu'urasa. Sha'tayru b'tchinaz kala. U'mu'urasa le nishmas yisrael. She's engaged to the nishmas yisrael. Sha'am b'tchinaz b'char o mashpiyah. The Kach Nema, it also says, Kedosh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasa. The Jews are called the beginning of God's grain, and Tvuo is the Torah. We're the beginning, Reishis Umakara Torah. The Hainu Shevechem Val Yetchem Tiena Mitzvahs Nikron B'Shem Kelem. What is that? Because you're the ones who make the mitzvahs mitzvahs, which means you're the one who are giving to the mitzvahs. That's called Mashpia. Because we're being, we're masculinizing the mitzvahs, so that's masculine in the Jewish soul itself. Because he's giving something. He's not just receiving. Because through our doing, God says, it's almost like we made him. The sages say, we learn out from it, God says, I have, what's it called again? I consider as if you made me. What does he mean, made me? We structure the 248 limbs of God. Because we're the ones who draw him down into that state. But that's only if Eloi Sasuru, you don't go apart. Why? Because in the world of separation, it's scary. When one pines or yearns for something, or desires something, or has a passion for something, it's considered as if you're getting married to that thing. Because you become a recipient of it. So there aren't really too many men. Because when you meaning to say, people who are seeking constantly to receive and to get and to become, that's all feminine. So it's not a man. What? Yeah, is there a man? Yeah. Ma she'en ken ba'olam ha'yichu al yedei shu'u b'chinas isha eish hei. Ma she'en ken in the world of yichud, through being the woman, eish hei, nasa b'chinas dachar. He also becomes man. By becoming the woman, they become a man. Because in Kedusha, Malchus, things work this way and back way. Or Chayzer. So Malchus is the transmitting. Now it's because God came not saving Chos and the safe master of Shabbat Chiddah. Kamayim and Azal Pazik, Ocha B'Kedem Tzatzani. As the sages say, we said about man, that man was created first and last. We're last, but we're also first. We're the last creation, because the lowest creation in receiving everything, but also the stimulator of everything. Which means, at the same time when we're in the Makabo, we're also the Mashpia. I learned it, and I can say it, and we're stopping over here. Should we finish it? Why? Okay, that's not it. I thought you were all tired. My wife's going to sleep. It's not too much. It's 15 minutes more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A dollar.
Without
the hay. There you go. That's the balance. Yeah. They didn't see it as a... That's right. So what is it? Let me read it. Okay, let me tell you. You will be holy. Why holy? Because we're learning the whole process over here is in order to get to what? In order to get the yud to be transmitted to the hay, we have to create that. All right? As he says, and then we become ashtiyim. Then we become male. Now, in order for the yud to come down to the hay, through where did we learn where does that happen? Only from kefser, from the crown. That's where it sits. It strands. Here, any hamshacha from Keser is called kadosh. Why? Because Keser is called kadosh without a vav. Because Keser is totally kadosh means removed. Keser is the ultimate light that is. Keser is what the level of God that is absolutely transcendent, totally beyond, moved out. No one can get from Keser. What is kadosh with? The word kadosh is kuv dalet shin with the vav. What is the vav? The vav is that little here. The here that comes from kesher to put it into it. So we through tzitzis, through this whole mitzvah of tzitzis, the yisem kadoshim. So we're going to access the kadosh and draw down kadoshim with the vav. And where are we going to draw it? Lelokechem to Malchus. Malchus is called Elokechem. It's called Elokechem, our God. And Malchus goes again. We're going to bring from Yehudi Allah, which is from Chachma, which is called Yehudi Allah, because the higher unity, down into Yehudi Tata, into Malchus. So that's the idea. The result of all this is the Yisem Kedoshim. We're going to get to the level of Kadosh. From Kesser, Kadosh through of us, through that tube. Lelokechem to Malchus. And all this is going to be through what? Through tzitzis and through v'lo yisusiru achel avavchim, so that we can be a wife and we can draw this all down and cause this whole thing to happen. And he says, let's read it again. Yisuk v'lo yisusiru achel kadosh b'vav ha'inam shachas kodesh ha'elyon. Kadosh with the vav is drawing down kodesh ha'elyon. Kodesh ha'elyon, that is keser and so forth, or at least chachma. And drawing it down with the vav means to draw down from kodesh, because kodesh means it's not accessible, because that's why it's kodesh. Kodesh means remove. The gimel pamim kodesh, three kodesh is bringing it through on three levels. We learned it in Pashas Emor, the three kodesh, what they mean. But it's the idea. At shavayit tzavakis, till it comes down to our shavayit tzavakis is already a level of God being contained within the hosts, Lord of hosts, hosts. Are already in creation, so you have to draw down from that place. Tam shachas kedusha zu b'chenasiris, and this comes dafka through tzitzis, through here. Shazain, that's why by the nazir, who is called the nazir is the one who connects to that level. That's why the nazir has to let his hair grow, because from the place where the nazir is can only be through here. Kavashkasa gav the nazir kadesh yer gadol pera. Saros, Dam Shachas Khanasaris Anel, why they through Sublatata, and we're the ones who the Yisem Kedoshim. We're the ones who draw down these here, meaning that stimulate within God the desire to enter into the here, like we learned, in order to masculinize the mitzvahs. But that Dam Shachas should take place. The Zel of the Yisem Kedoshim, you're gonna be holy. Sha'atan Tiyam Am Shichin Kedish Kedushazu, you're gonna be the ones who are gonna draw down this Kedusha. Lelo Kechem to your God. We're going to give this to Malchus. Pidish l'pchinas alakus ha'shoyer b'chem. Shu b'chinas Malchus yizbech. Which means like this. Malchus itself can't do it. It's the souls emanating from Malchus who can do the mitzvahs that Malchus demands. Malchus first is Melech is the one that demands the mitzvahs. When we do the mitzvah, we stimulate something much higher than the level of Malchus. We reach to the level of Keser. And the Yisem Kedoshim, we draw down the Kaddish to Malchus. To bring down from the masculine light into the feminine light, to join the two fires together, And that's why it says in Shir HaShirim earlier, the Alpha mentioned, I mentioned, Samchuni ba'ashushis. You supported me with ashushis. Ashushis usually means, I think, kind of apple. But here it means ashushis, the two kinds of fire. The fire from above, the fire. Ashushis, the two fires. The fires on above. Ikamar Shekos, the same to Asim. Like it says, place upon yourself a king. So the kingship of God is placed on us. That's why it's called Elokei Chem. Which is the low. It is the way we do a mitzvah originally, with simple obedience. And through that we evoke something much deeper. Which is a much lower bittul. And then Shafil b'chinas bittul shlam nikra yesh mishabatul. Nashen ki yichud yilo, which is a higher b'chinas bittul chachmi yilo v'chachmi ma'ayim. Bittul mamish bar yinsay. Baruch hushayin yitay zimachin klal ba'emes ba'mitzay. And that's drawn down through v'anachnu, through the Yisam Kedoshim location. It's so through the first passage of mitzvahs, draws down the higher. It's similar to what we were learning a few weeks ago also, of v'hina anachnu ma'almin ma'lumin, about Yosef's bundle. There is the bittul that we can achieve, and then there is a bittul from above that needs to include our bittul. Similar to this, it's the higher aspect of mitzvahs picks up the lower bittul. We also mentioned it a few weeks ago. Oh, I know, well, we learned it on before Shavuos, learning a minor about bringing a higher bittul into the lower bittul. So there is the simple mitzvah performance. And so what are the stages? The simple mitzvah performance. But at the same time, there has to be serious surmera, keeping one's heart clean from going after other stuff, because then it can't be anymore an isha. And once it's clean, and it's eat, so then it stimulates the ish, it stimulates kadosh, it transmits into kadosh, the whole thing becomes whole, which creates the mitzvahs, which brings down the eshiyud, which results in the isha becoming an isha, and she becoming an air, she becoming a flame, a fire, which is the 248 plus the 2, and then she becomes a zachar, then she becomes, because she was the one who stimulated the whole thing, and because in that realm of yichud, man and woman are totally one. So there is that eschalos, that laman tizkir. So we masculinize the mitzvahs, and then the mitzvahs masculinize us, and that's how it becomes, right? And all this is what? It's through the tzitzis, which begins as wool, through the 32, and ultimately results in tcheles, which is the tachlis of all of it, of burning up, creating the lower kind of a fire, which is a fire which comes from stuff that are being burned up, creations that are being modified to God. And the rest over here is all commentary. Take care all. This is, next week there's no share. Instead there is a Fabrenian, a Rabbi Shustam in Shul, or Gimel Thomas, at 6 o'clock. Rabbi Shustam in Shul is in Beverly, on Beverly Hills, on Foothills. That? It's fairly short. How is it possible? Oh, it's remaining.